Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Gina's Groove Theory. This is your KXRW, your Community Connection Internet Radio Station. And hi, I'm Gina. Thank you. I'd like to welcome you for coming tonight. It is October 15th, 2012. It is now straight 11:04 in the p.m. Like I always start my shows off with, praise and glory all to the man who made everything possible. And for this particular show tonight, that's what I'm going to be bringing. I'm going to be giving you a little bit of what I... how I went from financial prosperity to actually spiritual prosperity. And it's a better life. So stay tuned. Stick with us. Let's go ahead and give God his praise and thanks. First, to the man above that gave me everything I have. Here we go.
Bye.
everybody. Hello, everybody. This is Gina's Groove Theory. Thank you for coming. Tonight is going to be from financial prosperity to spiritual prosperity. My journey to freedom, freedom to live, freedom to love, and freedom to be of service to all that I come in contact with. So I'm going to share that with you tonight. So thank you once again. I'm going to go ahead and get you guys started with something hot, get you guys working. So let's say you guys know how I love my Beyonce, so let's go on and send a little shout out. So get it together. We got to upgrade your asses.
Yeah, B. Talk your shit.
Time to let me upgrade your
age. How you gonna upgrade me? I'm tired of number one. You know I used to beat that block. Now I bees the block.
I hear you beat the block, but I'm the light to keep the streets on. Know that you the type that likes to keep them on the leash, though. I'm known to walk alone, but I'm alone for a reason. Sending me a drink ain't appeasing, believe me. Come harder, this won't be easy. Don't doubt yourself, trust me, you need me. This ain't a shoulder with a chip or an ego. What you think, they all mad at me, so. You need a real woman in your life, taking care.
Upgrade,
I can up, can I up, can high, Hermes briefcase, Cartier top clip, silk line blazer, Diamond Cool facial, CBS cufflinks, six star pin sweet, final let me upgrade you, grade you, final let me upgrade you, grade you, let me upgrade you, grade you, final let me upgrade you.
Hi, everybody. This is your KXRW, your community connection internet radio station, and I'm Gina. You're here with Gina's Groove Theory. Tonight, from financial prosperity to spiritual prosperity, my journey through life struggle to come to today where I am conquering a lot and still out here fighting. And I encourage you guys to do that as well. You know, Election Day is coming up. It's coming real soon. I think we're down to 4 days before we can get get our election registrations put in that go through me too. So stay on top of me. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to play something else for you guys. It is now 11:11 p.m. It is October 15th, 2012, broadcasting here out of Long Beach. Represent for all you guys out there. Let's play a little something for, just in case Miss Jackie's out there listening. Let's play a little something for her, because she does like send a shout out there to her. If she calls in, we'll go there with a little bit of cruising. So you guys just coming in, getting in from work, you're barely making it in, here's something for you. Cruising, D'Angelo.
Don't be confused with the way
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Gina's Groove Theory. It is now 11:18 in the p.m. We're broadcasting live here out of Long Beach, California, representing for Gina's Groove Theory. This is your KXRW, your internet radio station, bringing it to you real talk, real people, and real issues that need to be addressed. So let's go ahead and send a shout-out there to Miss Jackie Gage out there if you're listening. This is a shout for you. She's one of the community leaders out here from way back who walked along with Cherokee. So we're going to send a shout-out there to her. She loves Al Green. How can I mend a broken heart? Here you go.
La 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 la.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Gina's Groove Theory. It is now 11:25. Just got off the phone with Bishop. It's going to be coming out, so we're going to go ahead. I'm going to send a little shout-out there to my sweetie face because she's a special little lady. It's my daughter. I know she's out there listening and hanging real close with her mom. So here's my angel. Here you go, sweetheart. And then we'll get into the topic of tonight. How can we go from financial to spiritual prosperity, and what can you gain more so from it? Here you go. Here you go, angel. Here's mommy's baby. There you go.
Ooh.
Hi, you guys. Most of you guys out there that know me from Long Beach, of course, you know me from working out in the community. I want to welcome you guys for coming out tonight. Thank you for joining. It is now 11:30 in the p.m. It is October 15th, 2012, and this is your KXRW. We've had quite an exciting weekend. I've had a quite exciting month and a week so far. I'm going to go ahead and share with you guys my testimony. So most of you guys already know, when you go out on my Facebook and you see God, Dollars, and Heaven Bucks, when I first came into radio, actually it was offered to me by my niece and nephew. They had their own radio station, and they just asked me to do a co-host with them. And after doing the co-host, well, they just asked me, could I have my own show? And from that, I say about 3 months later, here I am, I have my own show, and I run it independently. And I do that simply because I've been working out here almost a good 10 years, working for Mental Health America, working with a man named Cherokee Morrison, who, like you guys know, last week, the last show I believe I did was a tribute to him. He's not doing too well, and I actually just got him out of the hospital, and he's kind of comfortably relaxing. He's a man who showed me how to be a human being, how to have humility, how not to judge. Most of you guys out there who are my friends who grew up with me in that school, Gina Chaley, send a shout out there to you guys. Also to Long Beach City College as well. To my classmates out there that are doing the thing. And then Cal State Dominguez, which I will be at open house. You guys interested in getting into open house, you guys hit me up. I'll give you the information. Most of you guys out there know that prior to 2002, you know, I was pretty much fortunate. I was born into an upper middle class family that was ran by women, union women. One a co-founder of Local 399, and the other a Teamster 952 out of Orange County. And these ladies were very strong and powerful. And me and my brother, you guys know, Brother Bishop. He'll be out here shortly. He's pulling that big rig in, so you know he's going to come out and speak with you guys as well. I don't know, maybe we can get Cherokee to come out too and say hello. I don't know. We're not going to push him, but we'll see. Actually, they were strong, and they, you know, they set a lot of goals up in us. I mean, education first and foremost. If you didn't vote, you weren't a citizen. So as far as you were concerned, as far as they were concerned, a citizen voted, a citizen worked. And they paid their way, they made their way, and nothing was free in America. Nothing is free in the world, is what they always taught me and my brother. And so, you know, we grew up pretty much, private school educated, all of us, including my great auntie, who was born in 1912, actually. She went to the University of Louisiana. And I believe when I sat down with her prior to her passing, and they both passed in 2000, and I sat down with her, I got some time with her. My mother was set, but with my nan, I sit down and I ask her questions. I say, what about the 40 acres and the mule and all the extra? You know, because they never brought us up on that. They always said that as long as you had an education, nobody could touch you. So as I grew up and I grew into, you know, adulthood, you know, you have brains, you know, nobody can touch you. Well, 2001, you know, I got a lesson, kind of the beginning of a lesson of, you know, what happens on a job, employment, where you're being harassed and intimidated on a job, you know, by a coworker. And I put up with that for about 3.5 months, and out of that 3.5 months, you know, I accumulated panic anxiety dysfunction disorder, which I didn't believe in that prior to that. I had two family members, and, you know, my sister-in-law called in, and she had to represent, but I've already made my amends to my cousin and to my sister-in-law about saying that they just needed to get up and get a job and get up out of their asses. But that I had to learn the hard way. When I was diagnosed with it, after putting up with the on-the-job harassment, you know, I was pretty angry. And I turned from angry into a war with a wrongful determination. I was black, and there was a whole lot of other different issues that played part. And pretty much, you know, me and my family, me and my two children, we lost everything pretty much over a long period of time. We moved actually 50 plus different places, two different states in a period of 3 years. Them going to school, going to different school, in and out. You know, we moved around a great bit, and we were brought up in a salad. So it was kind of I wouldn't say much of an adventure as much as it was, you know, me getting to know them and them getting to know me, us getting close, because pretty much I worked. I got up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I picked them up at, you know, after school, 6 o'clock, dinner made, off to bed. Didn't spend too much time with them. So a lot of things that I bring to you is lessons that I had to learn the hard way. things that I had to I'm not an expert on anything. You guys, most of you guys that know me personally, I don't claim to be an expert on anything. So anybody out there, all you guys out there, you guys know, if you want to call it, all you have to do, if you're already out there, just press 1 and join in the conversation. Or if you guys want to be anonymous, as some of my guests do, you know what to do. Text me, and I'll read it off to them just as you like it, just making the caption. If you want to be sad, happy, angry, or whatever. So with that, you know, just to ease everybody. A lot of people say, well, when they come in, they're like, well, I don't want to talk. And I get a lot of you guys out there that, you know, want to, once you sit in, when you sit in, it's, you can't help yourself but to get in sooner or later. I mean, everybody that's been through the theory ever since my first April 12th was my first show. And I've done almost pretty much about 100 shows. Wow. And just to keep you on the update, the third show that was growing is up. It's past 3,500, and I'm really kicking butt. And you guys, thanks for all you guys, all your help. It's pretty much a blessing. It's a blessing for me to be here. A lot of people ask me. I went through a lot of things. For one, not even believing in panic attacks. I thought it was, you know, just a cop out for people who didn't want to work. And I had to learn when I got out here to Long Beach. Me and my young teenage children, 13, 14, born a girl, we got out here and we got to the village. It was a friend of mine. We're from Redondo Beach, South Bay area. Went to Eugene Shelley Compton, grew up there as a young girl. And then, you know, of course, I had children and moved off into the South Bay area. And so as living out there, you know, we got accustomed with beachy people and, you know, pretty down to earth. But also, too, I would say we probably weren't as grateful back then as we are now. I know I wasn't. I mean, I can't speak for my kids. Well, they're adults now. But, you know, wasn't as grateful. You know, I thought about money. I thought finances were just, it was all about, if I didn't have a couple of grand in my purse, and that's cash every day, I mean, I felt inadequate. And that way of thinking, you know, now when I think back, that way of thinking wasn't good, you know, and it was really power driven, and really in the end it didn't gain me much. I look at the things that I have now. From then, being financially prosperous back then and today, that's what the show is really about. I'm going to take you a little bit through the journey, and I'm quite sure most of my friends out there are going to come in. You guys are going to talk about it. I want you guys to be honest. Everybody be honest. Anybody that brings anything here, as long as we're all respectful of another, one another, everything goes very smooth. Like I said, you know, elections are, we have 4 days before we were able to register, before you can't register. That means me too, guys, so you guys better stay up on me. I know you guys, I haven't been out here, but of course you guys know I've been struggling and battling with the injury that I sustained, actually just about 5 weeks ago, Wednesday. And I come to some conclusions that I've learned that the use of my hand is very limited and it will really nail. And so a lot of things. I've been having a lot of awakenings, and you know, I must say I can always encourage. You know, I was angry when I found out last week. I think I shared with you guys. Was that the last show? Yeah, actually, it's the same show with where we dedicated to Cherokee. Where, you know, he burnout actually. Yeah, because he burned out. He burned out. I've worked alongside this man for nearly 10 years, and he's been doing 17. And you know, I really got to see, you know, the effects. This is the man who taught me how to have EQ. Now, most of you guys know what EQ are. You know what IQ is, of course, you know, intellectual, a quote. But EQ is the emotional quote. And I learned this best from Jose Ampudia. Much shout out to Jose, Professor Jose Ampudia, who my daughter is taking him at right now. Shout out to Little Angel Face as well. He taught what EQ was about. And it's really basically made of 4 elements. And those 4 elements are what make you a human being. Prior to 2002, you know, if I saw a woman out there with her 2 teenage kids homeless, you know, I would have looked and said, you know, something, like she must have done something wrong. You know, she must be something, parent or whoever, they did something wrong. I mean, not everybody did. I judge like that, but I would help out wherever I could. You know, like I hear a lot of people say, well, I'll give him a dollar. I'll buy him something to eat. You know, I remember those days back then where when I made a call before I gave someone something. And, you know, that if in fact, like I think I told you guys on the last show, if in fact that it makes you get compelled to do something, like, don't even give anybody. Just keep it pushing. Say, yeah, I ain't got it. Bottom line is, if you don't feel it in your heart, and when you give anybody anything, and this is what I've learned, you know, my people taught me that nothing in this world is free, and if it is free, then it doesn't mean nothing. It's worthless. So with that, you know, I grew up kind of saying that, and prior to my nanny dying, I told her a little something. I gotta laugh at that, but I told her a little joke. I'm gonna tell you guys about it when we get in, later in the evening. So I had this whole mentality that, you know, not that I was better than, but I guess I kind of forgot. I didn't give God his dap. And most of you guys know it was my two teenage kids while we were out there homeless and in the car one night before we went to sleep. And they told me what the reason why we lost everything. And, you know, I asked them why. And they said, because, Mama, you had eyeism. And I was like, eyeism? And they said, eyeism. And I said, well, what is that? And they said, well, you know, you always say, you always spoken, I made this happen. I'm successful because I. That was I-ism. And it took me some years to reflect and understand what I-ism is. See, I-ism means that I only cared about me, and everything about me was all about me. Everything I had, I made it because I was successful. Everybody else, I guess, you know, I don't even know what I could have been thinking back then. Today, I live a much more, let's say, not financial prosperous life, but spiritually prosperous. I don't worry about where or what I'm going to get or how much money I'm going to have. It's not about what I have, because God, like you guys know, God, dollars, heaven, bucks, that's my motto right there. Jay, my good friend out there in New York, said, are you part of those Christians that pray for money? And it's like, no, you guys know, no. God dollars and heaven bucks are basically, see, the God dollars and heaven bucks, it wasn't a repayment from God. It was more so, I had the God dollars and heaven bucks before it even happened. I said that prior to me getting anything, because God dollars and heaven bucks, put it to you like this. When you're looking at cash money, you know, cash money can spend, cash money can burn, it can run through your hands like nothing. But when you have, let's say, spiritual prosperity, and your pockets are full, your spirit is good, your life is feeling good, you treat everybody with respect, you love everybody, you're honest, you know, I'll tell you about that honesty, and you keep it real, I mean, you have nothing to fear. I told a friend of mine last week, it's like, okay, if in my world today, I don't like being around any, let's say, quote-unquote shady people. Shady people today in 2012 is not, it's not my kind of party. I'm more so for the people who don't have to have the same idea I have, but have the same drive that I have and the same ideas to get to where we need to be. You guys know. Right now, as far as economically, we are struggling. Hopefully you guys are going to be out there voting. I don't want to tell you who to vote for or who not to vote for. I just hope you guys get out there and vote. You know, get out there and do your due. You know, at least stand up and be. There's a lot of people that died for us to have that right. And that means for women too. So let's not take this to a black, white thing. Let's take it to a woman thing. You know, women can have it. We didn't have the right in the early 1930s to vote either. So it was more so we weren't really a whole person as well. And then on top of that, there's a lot of laws and rules that, you know, now that are in effect from just the abuse of the women and children then. So let's keep it on that level. The bottom line is today, we're in need of some community get-together. And me, as well as my scholars, as well as my friends, as well as my mentor, and all of you guys out there that represent for God out there, you know, you guys are all, and I'm touching you too, you know, to come out here and give your input. I believe, and I firmly believe, as well as my Native American mentor, Cherokee, I have Native American in me too, so pretty much the Native American way is tradition, no family. That means the mother, the father, and the children. That's what comes first. So I encourage, like I encourage you parents who are still out there raising kids who are in school, you have to take time. We all have to take time. You know, maybe because of what I went through, I got a clear sight of what he wants me to do. So I implore all of you guys to do the same. And here on this radio station, that's what we do. It's all about getting together, reaching not just Long Beach, not just California. You guys know I represent as far as the other end of this world. And it's not really who you are, what you are. It's a separate between poor. Either you're rich or you're poor. There's no higher class. There's no upper middle class. There's no more of that. Right now, it's either you got it, either you're rolling in cash, or either you might need an alternator and you ain't got the money, you got to wait, or you got to go to payday loan to get it. If you're doing that, like I said, you can live in the same community. You can live right around the corner from me. You could be paying $2,000 a month, and I could be paying less than that. But if you're in my community, we're all a part of the same people. Our children go to school together. You know, just let us not say that it. Now we have charter schools. So with charter schools, they're kind of like semi, I guess, private. You might pay a little bit of money. I don't know how valuable it is. I hear it's pretty good, but things are changing. And as far as our morals and how we're dealing with what we do in our communities and how we treat each other as parents and teachers, and, you know, it's getting kind of shabby. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and send a little shout out there to you guys out there. And I'm going to check in with the bishop and see if he's ready to come out, actually, before I share with you guys my testimony. And I want you guys to think on this, too. Come with your testimony. And most of you guys out there that know me, please, please be careful. Please, don't give me all that praise and glory, because, you know, without you, I wouldn't be here. So let's keep that 100. So here we go, you guys. I'm going to send this out here to you guys. Here's Marvin Gaye. Mercy, mercy on our communities. Mercy, mercy on our people. Mercy, mercy on my mentor, Cherokee Morrison. And mercy, mercy on all of you guys out there. Let's make this a great show. Let's bring something. Let's make some differences. Let's make some changes. You know, I'm only one. Anybody who wants to join the team, jump on a board. So here we go. Marvin Gaye, you guys.
The blue skies go, poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east. Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things and what they used to be, oil wasted on the oceans and upon our sea, fish full of mercury. Underground and in the sky, animals and birds who live nearby are the sight. Oh, mercy, mercy, mercy. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more we use from man? Can't you stand?
Hi, everybody. You're back with Gina's Groove Theory. It is now 11:51 in the p.m., broadcasting live out of Long Beach, California. This is Gina's Groove Theory, and I'd like to thank you guys for coming out there. So you guys out there ready to respect you? Okay. Okay, all right. All right, I'm going to share with you my testimony, written by me. As you know as well, I'm ready. I'm working on my book as well. I'm getting a lot of things done, slowly but surely. Okay, here we go. My testimony. I've been planning and actively getting into the community to make change, to share my purpose and intention for change. Awareness is key. If my family would have never embarked into the struggle of life, I honestly would have never taken a glance at the people living on the streets and dealing with mental illness and physical disabilities, to say the least. But as I have on many occasions at the City Hall meetings in defense of the Department of Mental Health Services, I at one time felt as they did. Now back then, before, I was subjected to the on-the-job harassment and intimidation and outright violation of my civil rights to work in a safe work environment. No prior knowledge of remaining in the situation would lead me to, here we go, schizoid affective disorder, depression and panic anxiety, and the other social dysfunctions, and it led to homelessness. And that's what really does happen in some cases, not all cases. You guys bring those questions if you want to know. One of my friend out there, San Diego, she'll come out and represent as well for how we're going to get financially ready as well. So let me go ahead. All right. I was a strong, well-educated, outgoing supervisor with employees who loved and respected me. I was working towards my psychology degree at Cerritos College, holding a 3.66 GPA. But the woman that stood before as a confident woman, self-assured, as I was before, and like the council members, fire and police department who were trying to make 1.8 acres of land over there on Burnett that the United States government gave the Department of Mental Health, prior, they want to build a lot. We were promised a larger facility for our HAP. That's the Homeless Assistance Program, which actually Cherokee and Gail and a couple of others on bikes back in how long ago? 1970s. Well, they got it started out there, right there in that basement at 556 Elm, and that's where I embarked. Now, like I said, I didn't even believe in panic attacks. Period. It was. I couldn't even conceive it that it even existed. I saw a lot of people on TV, and then I had the two family members who had it, and I just didn't believe it. And so I was, of course, I had to. I guess it's what you say, God's way of saying, okay, well, you know, I'm going to give you this lesson. I'm going to teach you this. Not that he's a punishing God. He's never punishing. But he will show you who's the boss. And back then, I think I pretty much what I was about. I spoke frankly, and I was just like those neighbors who were a mile and a half away from that facility that we're talking about. I thought it was a way that people wanted to get out of work. I thought they didn't want to provide for themselves. I even doubted the fact it even existed. And I thought of it as an excuse not to work. And to the neighbors who formed on the opposite side, reeling mean, angry, and insulting remarks about their concern for their children, property value, and the sight of seeing homeless, mental ill people walking through their neighborhood, which is at least a mile and a half away from this site, made them cringe. What I heard was ignorance and confusion about what mental illness origin is, and the uniqueness of each individual case. When you have mentally ill, you think wild, untamed, savage, beast, running amok in your city. I can accredit that I too was guilty of the same bias and myths that I accumulated in my own words and in my own prejudices, unaware of the facts until it happened to me. It is apparent that anyone, you can lose your job, lose everything you own, and be thrown into depression, which leads to hopelessness. And maybe if you have good resources and they are good and accurate, you can overcome your losses, your children's losses, and rise above. But many don't. So even go further than that. They just take themselves out and their families out of the situation by the end of their lives. Ever think of what could make a person go off the deep end and kill their families? Despair. No way to see clearly. No one to talk to for help. These are the things that go wrong in these cases. But what is good today is that we have advocates like myself and the people I work alongside to bring awareness and assistance to those in need. Gina's Groove Theory was offered to me in a bridge to be a bridge to the people and to the community who need information and resourceful measures I take to take to them when they're in trouble before it becomes too late to ask for help. So if anyone or any family member are in dire straits, doesn't matter where you are, if you're in whatever state, because a lot of people, we represent out here in Long Beach, but let me tell you, there's MHA all across the world. And it's one of the best, I must say, resources and places where you can get some assistance. I can speak to that. And if you roll with me, of course, if you bring them to me, of course, I'm going to bring them to Cherokee and they're going to get some help. But in your cities, what you do is you look under Department of Mental Health. You look for MHA. Just type it in your computer and see if there's one in your city. They're everywhere. I've been doing some research. Now, so, like I said, despair, no way to see clearly, no one to talk to. These are the things that go wrong. That's why we have advocates. That's why I'm here. In the community, working with people still, even though I do this radio show, and I still go to Long Beach City College. Well, I'm going to have to. We'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. But I want you guys to utilize me and my people and Cherokee to bring help. Because also, too, we got to get Cherokee back on the road. Because, of course, he's a man of the people. And he taught me everything I know pretty much. And let your voices be heard. We all have the same dream here. Unity through knowledge and community. Let's get it right. So send up some prayers. For tonight's show, let's take a look out there and see who's in here calling. Let's do a time check and see what time it is on the theory as well. It is now 11:59 in the p.m. So, since we're at the hour, let me go ahead and send out another little shout out there. We're going to send this to, this is my intro. Everybody out there that knows my intro, I chose this intro because it means a lot. So I want you guys out there, if you're new out there and you're listening, check it out. I asked myself, after all the things I've been through, after what I've learned, what I've lost, and what I've gained, because I really didn't lose. I won. Because as I sit here at home, because my studio is anywhere I want it to be. My radio station is anywhere. My radio station will be traveling to your town. So as you know, I sit here and I represent for you guys. So you guys got to bring it as well. I got Jay out there who's working on a plan, and we all know about their reparations. And I got my girl out there in San Diego who I got together with her. We teamed up. I put that first $40 up for the community nonprofit. You guys got to bring it. Like my brother, the bishop, says, you tell 25 of your friends, they tell 25 of their friends, and we can all do it together. We even have it work. We can all conference together. We can make decisions together. We have to get community together, and we have to start by also with our children, also getting better communication with each other. If someone on Facebook today, they posed that question, one of my classmates, it's like, yeah, you talk to all these people out here on Facebook, but when you walk down the street and you pass somebody, you don't even speak. Wow. That was intense. So shout out there to Kim. Kim, she's one of my classmates. Gina Chaley High School out there. Yeah, I got that. That was real, real sweet as well. And also, too, Council Member Neil, he put out some good ones today too. It's all about what you want to do. See, now one thing I can still say I do have is that I'm willing to get out to get what it is to do whatever. But it's not about me. I'm willing to get out there and do something for someone else because see, in the whole makeup of it, it all is going to benefit everybody. Because you can't be one person on top of a mountain. And I think it's pretty lonely up there. And then if you're the only one that got money, you know, a lot of people are going to be out there looking for you. So think about those things. No, that's just a joke. We're going to go ahead and send this shout out there. I want you guys to ask yourself. I ask myself what it is that I can do after what I went through to make a difference. What I can do to help people. So this is how I chose this song. So let's represent. It is now 12:01 in the a.m. And you're broadcasting here on Gina's Groove Theory, KXRW, your community connection radio station. So here you go. Ask yourself what you can do.
Papa, gotta get a birthday, something for me and my family. I gotta make decisions and be somebody. I'm growing up as fast as I can. I gotta make some money. Don't wanna live by the rules.
Hello, everybody. You're back with Gina's Groove Theory. It is now 12:05 in the a.m. This is October 16th now. You know what? The days are going pretty fast. I think we're down to, what, 3 days now before we get those registrations mailed in. So let's get out there and do that. You guys have to remind me as well. We're broadcasting here out of Long Beach. This is Gina's Groove Theory, your KXRW Community Connection Internet Radio Station. And, of course, I welcome you guys as well. Shout out to all of you guys out there who are still getting on home, getting on in, and making it. You know, when I spoke of prosperity, when I speak of spiritual prosperity, you know, a lot of us are going through it. A lot of us are in the battle for our lives, you know, just to maintain. But then a lot of us, like me, Jay, Girl Up Vincent, we're trying to bring community into works together. And how we do this is we have to start, well, I take this part from the Native American tradition because, of course, I have Cherokee and Blackfoot in me as well. And, of course, we have the Healing Circle, which we have that every Tuesday. Let's go ahead and represent for that here in Long Beach. It's in Long Beach. But the Healing Circle's everywhere. All you have to do is go into the Native American site and look for the white bison. For most of you guys who want to find a more traditional, see, traditional, I figure like this. I wasn't born during the times where, you know, your neighbor could whoop you and everybody would whoop you all the way home and all that, or the geese would, you know, pluck on my mom's legs back in Louisiana in the early days. But, you know, I was born at least, I mean, you know, parents had respect for each other, people had respect for each other, and we kind of agreed. But with all the drugs and all the extra things that have been put in place and put in our communities, it has destroyed the family makeup. You know, it used to be in the early days, the man took care of the family and the mom took care of the kids. And, you know, then, you know, something got twisted. And I hear a lot of men say, you know, liberation. You know, we want to be free, but we want equal right to, you know, there's no such thing. And, well, this is only my opinion. And you guys out there who have an opinion, you can bring it. There's no difference between what a man, woman, or what skin color you are, or any of that, even your educational background, it, all of that doesn't really matter. If you have, like I said, EQ, which is resilience, empathy, right? And what is the other? Well, I have to think of the other. Forgive me. There's four elements. I'm sitting here and I'm looking at. It's someone who I'm hoping I can come out and speak because he's doing a lot better today. Actually, it's just being a human being. It's caring for the next person. If inside of you feel that, because I do it all the time. And the reason why I put up that first 40 was because I said, you know, I got tired. You know, we sit out here and we talk and everybody says, well, I want to help. I want to make a difference. And I'm tired of this and I'm tired of that. You know, there's a way. I mean, yeah, we do have our voices. And as we all go on out for this election, of course, who's paying the tax dollars? We can initiate, and we've been doing a lot of talking about this, initiating in our own communities to take it up, take control of. I mean, look, the monies that they're already flowing through that they take in taxes and so forth is already gone. It's a wash. It doesn't even make any difference. $40 that I put up, that's just $40. That was $40 that I give to people every day. You know, I'm always doing a little something. If I'm not on this radio station, if I'm not out there in the community, I'm doing community. And, you know, of course, you guys know almost 4 or 5 weeks ago, doing the same thing. You know, now I'm injured. But with that, it did make me bitter. Last week was really tough for me because, you know, I fought anger and I fought a lot of, you know, things. You know, me being a writer, you guys know I'm a writer, of course. And most of you guys who are my friends, you know, that's my passion. That's my, you know, I mean, that's what I do. If he's not singing, he's writing. And this radio show wasn't even in the cards. You know, when they offered it to me, you know, they wanted to bring sensitivity to their radio. They were actually, shout out to them, too. I hope they're doing okay. KXYS, Express Yourself Radio, where they play your shit. Much love to you guys. I hope you guys are doing well. They invited me, and then I saw what the main thing was. I saw what the whole... what I could use. I mean, hey, I'm about to get my AA, and I'm transferring over to Cal State Dominguez any time now. And I'll be there at open house come the next month. And like I said, you guys want to roll? I got 4 extra tickets. I did reserve extra tickets for anybody that like to go, because I encourage you to do that now. Do that now before, you know, there won't be any Pell grants for you to do. I mean, college education, everything is expensive. And one thing I can say about Cal State Dominguez, much shout out there to Tammy Tumbling out there working out of Edison Philanthropy. She's head of philanthropy over there, and she's doing the thing too with community. That's my BFF sister. She's a wonderful lady. And also, too, she's making a difference, too. We're trying to get all people who are involved in community. That means when you're on the mentor level, when you're on the professor, our human services, that Don Watson, that goes for Cheryl Zampelli out there, Sherry Zampelli, all of you guys out there, we need your voice. You know, sitting in class, you know, we heard pretty much my daughter brought this one to me, that we're going to be struggling with, they're trying to take, and this is not just a community college level thing. This is a UC Cal State situation. They're talking about just taking human services out the plate, period. And one thing I can say about human services, I wouldn't have, prior to, see, in 1998 when I started with psychology, I wasn't even on the level of human services. I was just thinking from the background of being a psychiatrist. And it wasn't even about me wanting to care for anybody. So I was on a different level then. Human services, what I've learned from I've taken every class there, from Human Services 1, Introduction into Social Work, to Human Services 260, Domestic Violence. And what I found encouraging is that along the time I've been working, well, I've been volunteering with MHA alongside Cherokee's crew for almost 10. That's volunteering. And I was hired as a life coach through the village as well, but $8 an hour, you know. That was quite a situation too, but the deal is, you know, I mean, I got into it and I got involved. When my friend brought me and the kids out here and I started walking alongside her, delivering medications and, you know, getting to know the people and, you know, shout out there to you guys in the riverbed. You know, I haven't forgot you guys. I know you guys are out there listening, but I have to tidy up some things, you know. There's a lot of things I got to tidy up. You guys know I represent out here pretty much by myself. Of course, you know, Cherokee's been sick. And a lot, you know, I do things on my own. So with that, you know, I kind of had to slow up because I am still just me. You know, I'm just me, and I'm trying to do just the job that I want all of you guys to take part in. You have to, it may be idealistic to believe that, you know, we can't live in a better place or be happier, that we can't run a community. Or, you know, I had a friend named, my friend out there, shout out there to Brian, too, if he's out there somewhere from Connecticut. Who I said, Google me some times in history's time periods back in the day that, you know, communities that people took over their cities. And people, you know, and he did. When he Googled it, man, it was a flow of, from the early AD, you know, people have taken over their own governing. So with that, you know, I don't know where people got sidetracked, you know what I mean? Well, I guess we all got a little lazy, I guess, you know, or somebody got lazy where they just say, okay, well, let's take my money. Or either it's just the fact that they take your money anyways and you have no voice. Because if you don't pay it, then most likely you'll go to jail. So, I mean, it's kind of like tax evasion. So, I mean, you got to pay the taxes. But then if you're still paying the taxes, it doesn't really, I mean, we need to start using our voices. And I know a lot of you guys out there are working hard. You guys got to take care of the kids, you know, I mean, you work two-parent homes, if you do, or if you're blessed to have two-parent homes, you guys are out there busting it. Like I said, we have to start taking, when I put that first 40 up, it was because I got tired. That 40 first to that nonprofit organization, which I got, what, two words already, Jay, out there in New York, you got to bring two. Bishop, you got to bring your two, you know, and represent as well, to get this community thing going. And we do it together. Look, there's not one, like I tell you guys all the time, I am not a teacher talking to students. I'm a student in a classroom full of students. And the only way we can get somewhere is that we infiltrate all of our ideas together. That means I say what I say, you say. I mean, if it's a million of us and we're all saying what we have to say, all that million, what I learned out of actually conflict resolution, Human Services 242. I learned how to, see, we don't all have to agree to disagree. We all don't have to be on the same page because, see, it takes a whole spectrum of different ideas to make things work. If you look back in the days where you had Hitler and Stalin and Mussolini, you know, those were what you would say dictators. Dictators who were a little bit nuts. The deal is if you've got one person running something and, you know, he has control over it, then you give one person the power. And God knows, God bless President Obama, But, you know, he can only do what he can do. You know, I mean, a lot of people out there represent, oh, well, he's, but you know what? It's just that we have somebody in there that's good and decent. I can't testify to anything about him, but I know about me. Like I tell you guys every day, hey, if your nose is clean and you run yourself and you handle yourself and you take your life and what you give to others seriously, when you start to do that, then that's when we'll make a difference. See, if everybody's running around saying I don't really care about anybody, it's not really my problem, you know, and that was me before. You know, when I looked at Cherokee struggling this past week and a half, and then I found out that I could use my hand, I got a little bit really angry, and I really got hurt, because it's like, wow, you know. But then a lot of people say, oh, well, you're out to help me. Oh, well, you know what, it's not even about that. God will heal me. You know, I still need to heal others. And let it not be said that I'm bitter for anything, and that I'm not grateful just to be here today. And with that, I see you out there, so I'm going to go ahead and touch and see who's out there. Let's say hi. We have people out there. So we're going to go ahead and say hello. So let's say hello. Let's check in with the time right quick. It is 12:17 in the a.m., October 16th, 2012. Almost Halloween, you guys. Let's say hello. Hello?
Aho.
Aho. Aho. Aho, my
brother. Morning.
Oh, good morning. Oh, my. Is the sunrise up already?
Yeah. Well, not yet, but coming.
Yep. Yeah, I know. I was just saying hello. I'd like to welcome you.
Thank you. I want to thank the Creator for bringing Cherokee back home safely.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Yes. And the people that, you know, stood by him through thick and thin, you know. You know what I'm talking about. You hear me?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes.
Yeah.
And that goes for you, too. Come on now. Yeah. I mean, we're like,
yeah.
it takes a
whole tribe.
You got to get
the buffalo back rolling.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It takes a whole tribe of Indians. Like what I used to say. Too many Indians, not enough chiefs. We need more Indians. Yeah, but we'll be back on the road. We'll be back on the road. We're going to make it happen. And we'll make some changes. Thank you for coming. Thank you for supporting as well.
Yeah, what old are you too?
Okay, thank you. Well, so you always come and you always bring something good as well. I mean, you have any deep burning desires?
No, I'm just right now out of balance. Just trying to keep it one step at a time, you know.
Should I go ahead and let everybody know who you are? Or did you want to introduce yourself?
My native name is Eagle Eye, and my English name is Todd.
Jenna Groove Theory, I'd like to welcome you. Thank you very much. That's my brother.
Also, I wanted to know about that, was that grant thing for broadcasting, you know?
Oh. Are you talking about getting a Pell? Now, you know, I'm the go-to girl when it comes to school. You're talking about getting a Pell grant and going doing your broadcasting, right? Okay, well.
Let's do that.
Well, you know what? All we have to do is really just stay on me. All we got to do is go look and see if they do have it. I'm quite sure they do. And if they do,
would you like for me to Facebook you or Twitter you or which one?
Well, hell, you know what? You can walk down the street. Cut it out.
I know. Huh?
Okay. Any other time. Yeah. You can, no, whatever. Hey, you know what? I'm pretty free. I'm doing a lot better. I'm a lot encouraged. I'm glad that, you know, Cherokee is doing a lot better. You know, that was pretty tough. And then also, too, discovering that, you know, my hand is inoperable. That was, you know, pretty tough for me. So I kind of had to go off the scene for a minute and had to recollect. And also, too, you know what it did? It encouraged me, too, that procrastination is the killer. You procrastinate. You know how long I've been? I'm going to write that book. I'm going to start. Well, I did start, but then I stopped. And then I'm doing this. And then now it's like, it's all I can do. It's like, you know, because I'm pecking now, right? You know, I'm like, you know, it's like now it's harder for me to do it. Now I'm pushing myself to do it. And so I do thank God for that today, though. At least you know, I'm not wallowing in it. So it's pretty all right.
Yeah. I have one more question. Did you fly Southwest when you wanted to get away, or did you just float up there?
Oh my God! It was a blow up. I didn't even get a chance to go. I planned to Santa Cruz. I didn't even get a chance to go for one. South Bay Mercedes didn't have my vehicle ready for me. I was I'm livid. I'm still livid. I haven't got Black Diamond yet back yet. The case is my money was for. Oh my goodness. Oh, we have to talk. No, I didn't get to Santa Cruz. What I ended up doing pretty much was, you know, going to see Cherokee as well and staying at home, getting the house together. I'm trying to get everything together, organized. You know, organization is the best thing. It's like, you know, for me, and you know, my house has been in an uproar. You know, it's like, and I'm kind of like doing a lot on my own. So, you know, I mean, of course, you know, I don't really have too much help here. So. And then with the one hand, it's been kind of rough. But I've been really knocking it out. You know, I pretty much changed my studio to the bedroom. So it's like, oh, I guess I changed it. And so I'm just kind of chilling back. It's no different than the living room. It's just a little bit more comfortable. And just, you know, sitting here, and I'm very happy to be here today. You know, I'm very happy to be here. I do miss being out there and, you know, and hearing, you know, getting your input. And today I was out in the community. I mean, I saw a couple of things that I saw something that really bothered me, and I was so compelled to do a show about it. But I'm going to bring it to you guys. But I, after picking up Cherokee and getting in and, you know, getting everything settled, and I didn't get a chance to give a shout-out to, you know, to call in to, you know, Starbucks. But, oh, I had an experience at Starbucks today, me and Hawk. And, you know, it was very...
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah.
I'm Cappuccino.
No, you know what? Okay, you got to say this, okay. Now, I got to tell it. You don't even know yet. Well, today, me and Hawk went in, and I wanted to get me a Brave, and he wanted a coffee, and so, you know, we stepped in, and, you know, I ordered it and so forth, and, you know, he walked over to the side, you know, you walk over to wait on it, and it was I don't even know what this should say. It was this lady that walked up to the guy. Okay, there's a guy doing the drinks, and then it's the girl that's taking the. You know how they do it, right? You know, fifth.
Yeah.
And it's the girl. You know, she's doing. And the guy, the young guy that was doing the drinks. You know, it's a new faces in there because I used to go in there every day, but I don't do it anymore. But I used to go in there because Dominique, sweetie face, told me to stop spending all my money like that, and so I kind of chilled on all that. You know, I can't do that. Oh, Dupio Expressos every day. She'd be like, "Mama," you know. But then she started doing it. But the case is, you know how they gotta parent you every now. So, you know, I mean, there's new faces and stuff. And the one who was making the drinks, you know, young kid, and the lady walked up and she asked, "Now with my coffee and his frappuccino, you know, I asked for a water, you know, I asked for a cup, you know, ice water, and it, you know, they had it." You know, at the counter. And so this lady walked up and she asked for a cup of ice water, you know, like I had. And I don't even know how he knew, or I don't even know where he got it from, but he turned her, you know, he didn't even turn her face, or he said to her, he said, Starbucks policy is that no water, we can't give water to customers who are making a purchase. You have to make a purchase.
Oh, so he went corporate on her.
Honey, did he? Woo, did he do it? Oh, but look, I was already irritated, right? Because we saw a little bit, David at the post office just a little while ago, and I kind of got a little stirred up because he asked me a little bit about her, and I kind of got a little stirred up. I was already a little agitated. So, you know, I hear this. I mean, he didn't even turn to her. He says to her, I've never heard of him. He says, Starbucks policy is that you have to make a purchase to get water. You know? You can't get ice water, whatever.
Is this the one next to Albertsons or the one by the BA?
Yes. It's the one. It's the one right by the village. It's the one. It's the one I used to go in every day. Yes, it's that one. Kid, kind of reasonably new. I'm over by the. I'm up
because I was so outdone. Now you had to look at, I mean, and he said it because she walked over towards the counter where you pick up your drink. And she asked. So, I mean, he blew her up, and he didn't even turn around to look at her and say it. And that's what I felt was that right there. Oh, it just got me back. And I was just doing the best I could do just to contain myself, right? I really got a little bit peeved and a little ghetto. I mean, I could have just, you know, cut up. You know, I'm saying, what? I'm saying, wait a minute. Hold up. You had to make a purchase to get ice water? So, wait a minute. Oh, my goodness. I thought water, I don't see him. Well, like my people say, ain't nothing free. They obviously wasn't nothing free. I guess not even a cup of ice water out the faucet ain't free. I guess we got to pay for that, too. So I got livid. And I say, you know, because I'm shaking, right, because I'm pissed. So I'm like saying, because she's black. He's black. And he's a young white kid, right?
Wow.
And I'm saying, I know for damn sure if that would have been a white lady, no disrespect, that's my white people, love y'all. But I'm quite sure if he, can I have ice water? I'd be fine right away. So all I could do, instead of doing it myself, was to say to Hawk, Hawk, because, you know, I got the one hand, and I only got the one hand. So I had said, Hawk, I said, could you get that lady? Because she was still in, you know, in there with her friends, you know, with a couple of people, you know. I don't know. She could have been like having a diabetic. I don't know. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? She just, and he said, so I said, could you get her a cup of ice water? I said, since, because I brought three pops, you know, the pink pops, cake pops. I bought three of those. I bought his coffee, and I bought, well, his frappuccino, and I brought my brat. So it's like, okay, well, that's, what, five purchases. So get her a cup of ice water.
Get that lady some damn water.
Give her some water. I told her, could you get some ice water for her? Oh, well, Hawk just did it real nice and good. He just went ahead and got all the, he got,
that's right.
Well, since it was three pops and two coffee, that's five purchases. So five cups of water for everybody up in here. And I was so hot. But he did it, and he shot it right and right in front. The guy didn't even, I mean, how could you talk to somebody like that from the back? I mean, you know, and it was more so a situation where, you know how someone doesn't look at you because they know they're wrong. They know that you're going to see in their face that a policy, Starbucks, as much as money as Starbucks makes. You mean to tell me, if I would have had time, if we didn't have to pick Cherokee up from Knoxville, I'm telling you, if I would have had the time, I would have said, you know what, I want to see what a policy is that says that you have to make a purchase to get a cup of ice water. Now, it's not bad enough that they shut the bathroom off because of the homeless people. You know, I know, you know, yeah, okay, nobody wants to, yeah, I understand.
Yeah,
that's
a blow-up.
It was a blow-up, but then, okay, but Albertsons paid $25 for our nasty-ass bathroom, but I'm like, look, I know, I used to be on the other side, that's, like I said, I used to be on the other side of, oh my God, oh my God, you know, but hold up, you know, we can't never think that it won't be you, or it was, I didn't think it was going to be me, but it's me. It was me. It's me and my family. You know, one blink of an eye, hell, you could be broke as hell and living on the street. You just don't know. So I caution. Now, you know how I am. I caution people to be real careful about what you say, what you do, and how you live. Because, you know what? Ain't nobody, it's hard times for everybody. And it's not designed or defined by the color of your skin. It's not defined by, it's just defined by how much money you got in your pocket. If you got chips, and dollars, or it, see, unless you got them God dollars and heaven bucks, we just blow it up with that. You know, that's the best. But the bottom line, in this world, that's what people see, and that's what people want, and that's what people go after. And I had to say, I said, well, hey, I thought about that. I said, well, you know, I mean, it wasn't, what if she didn't want, well, wait a minute, how could you? And I said, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to call corporate. I'm called Starbucks Corporate Company. And I'm going to ask, is there a policy? I just want to know. Because I just, that, what do you, I mean, my goodness, a cup of ice water, you have to make a purchase. What is that? I mean, that's just like going to the bar and two drink minimum. And then they want to put you on your DUI, right? Because you take two drinks and your ass is drunk. I come on, it's a blow up. See, all that oxymoron, see, all that twisted, you know, see, this is why I say we should run our own, because somebody's nuts. And then, see, nobody wants to let a lady up in there because, of course, we have PMS and all that extra stuff going on. And so, you know, one day we might come in and have a PMS attack and, you know, the whole country be blowed up. You know, we be blowing up and, you know, bombs and the bombs. You know, just because I'm mad, my baby daddy made me mad, right? So, you know, I'll be, you know, sending bombs or something. But the case is, you know, seriously, I take this real serious. I mean, who is running it? The people who are running it are running off with the money. They're doing what they want. You got Bell. You got Bell Gardens. You got all these cities. Oh, and you know our very own. Crooked. Running off with the money, spending the money, doing what they want. Take care of families, whatever the case may be. Misusing funds. Shout out there, too, to the ones who are out there misusing the funds. You know who you are. Bottom line is this. Okay, well, you're going to have to get that money up anyway. But we have to take an active stance in doing something. You know, that's why I got with the company I got with, so I can start giving, providing services to people that are, to my community, to all people who can afford it. You know, when I met that guy that night, the night I was, before I got stabbed, you know, the guy with Citigroup, the $5 million, that doesn't do anything unless the $5 million guy. You know, he made it clear to me when I asked him, and I asked him, and he told me, he said, well, that company is good for, you know, it's just good for the small man. It's good for the community. It's good for the community. That's all I want to hear. You know, because I don't know anybody that has $5 million that you want to invest in anything, right? So that's what I wanted to hear, because that's where I'm at with it. There are so many things and so many ways, like, you know, I don't really bring anything out here that I don't know. I don't touch on things that I'm not common with or that I'm not familiar with, and I caution everybody. And I'm, you know, I'm real careful about who I have on this show and what they say. So the deal is, you know, we together, all of us, you know, like how we do, can work on it. I mean, it didn't just happen in the White Buffalo. It can happen all over. You know, it can happen as far as Japan. I mean, you got a lot of people out here. We got genocide going on. We got Africa. You know. You know, hey, Renee, shout out to Renee Quarles, Shades of Africa.
I seen her yesterday. She honked at me.
Okay. Shout out to you, Renee.
Give me a shout out, you know.
Huh? Shout out, Renee, Shades of Africa. Well, you know what? I haven't did a promo for her in quite a minute. 401 East 4th Street in the city of Long Beach. Shades of Africa. She has the best oils that she hand makes. Best sage, and you get an abalone shell over there too, as well. I got a lot of people getting sage. Gotta burn it, gotta have it. You know, she has and she has those tea candles that you get from Walmart. No, they're better than the ones you get from Walmart, where you get in the pack, the 50 pack for two. Some she has the bomb ones, and they last pretty long. And in my case, you know, I'm always burning them. So the case is, yes, go over there and represent for Renee over there, Shades of Africa, and she is a chain in the IE, you guys, Corona, California. Check her out. www.chaseofafrica.com.
I got another question. Have you been keeping up with Vice Mayor Garcia?
Oh, you know what? Okay. You know what? He's been hanging with Mayor. And I don't know, just, you know, I was there when he got inaugurated, right? You know, I was there because I was there also representing for mental health. You weren't there, were you? No, I was there. You were there. Were you there when he got the Richard Garcia? Well, you know, when he was inaugurated, you know, I thought it was very, very pleasant to see a young person getting in, especially, you know, youth. Like, oh, well, he brings youth and, but, you know, the green trees and all this extra. I was there, bottom line, but, you know, I ain't seeing it. I don't feel it. Lord forgive me. But what did I forget? Wait a minute. When he got inaugurated, that was like 2 years ago, right? So wait a minute. When did he get to be, I guess I'm shocked. When did he get to be vice mayor? When did we have an election?
A short time ago. But they're trying to remodel down the street from the village, which is 3rd and Elm.
They're trying to remodel it to what?
Small businesses, you know.
Okay, so, I mean, for the small business owner,
mm-hmm.
or just small businesses. There's a difference.
Yeah, with owner on it.
Small, okay.
With owner on it.
Okay, with owner on it. So are they going to be providing some small business loans and people help with that kind of stuff? Do you know?
I haven't got that far.
Okay, so I should kind of check into that and see what's going on. I don't know. I just been seeing him hang out with that foster, and you know. Now, you went to the last city, huh? Yeah, you were with me at the last for the cannabis collective cultures.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you see, he's something else. He's a piece of work. He's a piece of work. But I love my country. It's just, you know, some of us, I don't know. The bottom line is, so what are you thinking about? What do you think about him? Is he seeming to, I mean, look, the greener the earth and all that is so nice and everything, but hello, it's a blow up, you know, just like that bike lane, the lights on the third street, frivolous. Some it's just frivolous.
Well, he just also promoted the Long Beach Airport's job fair, I believe. Today, through the 20th.
Oh, really? He promoted it, or so he's just promoting or promoing? You know what? Come to think about it, I got a little bit. You know, I had a little incident with someone today on Facebook who I had tagged in. You know, and you know she had got a little funky attitude. I said, you know what? This is what I say. Listen here. Why did you even want to be on my? Why did you want even want to? Why are you on my Facebook? If you got a problem with me tagging or if you got a problem with me doing it, listen here. My Facebook, Jenna's Group, there is for the community. And it's for people who are based for community. It's for people who have the likes of the same thing. So I get it. And you know what I had to do? Let me go ahead and share this. Because I had to go ahead and share because she got a little, you know, I tagged a lot of people in, you know, the picture. I don't know if I tagged you. But I think I tagged you. And she tagged up there. She's like, isn't this something that you can just... Anybody can just tag some, you know, and then her friend, you know, I mean, who now wants to be my friend? Shout out to the Marvin. Now, you know, he wants to be my friend, but he's like, yeah, you can just go ahead, you know. But she's like, isn't this just something that people just tag you? And oh, but wait a minute. I thought, oh, wait a minute. You wanted to know about my show. You wanted to know about my writing. You wanted to know all that. And you work for the village. And, so I tag you up in something that's about something that is about the village, my award, and what you say something about what is it? Oh, is that you know, listen? And so I just went ahead and commented back to her that well, I which am a community person and always promoting knowledge is power, awareness is key, unity is what we need. Hello, lady, and I thought we was on the same team. So what you doing on my Facebook at all is what I want to know. If you can't get tagged or if... So I guess I'll go into delete that ass about my... you know, because I don't have time for shady people. You know, hey, yeah, hey, you're a mental health budgeter or whatever for mental health. I mean, hey, I didn't know you was going to have a problem with it. But since you got a problem with it, see, I don't need that extra. And anyway, to say that anyways, and you don't need to be, I don't even need to have you on my Facebook, so I will immediately do that shit. Delete, and we're good. Block, and we're good. And you don't have to worry about tagging or getting tagged or none of that. Because it's like, I'm a little bit tired, I guess, of people who are full of it. You know, do you really care about the people you working for and you budgeting their money? Do you really care about the community got going on, or you just worried about your check? And, I mean, don't hate on me. Don't hate on me because of that damn costume from way back, from what, talent show 2 years ago. You still hate on me? You mad at me? I mean, I thought we was cool. You know, I know I got your outfit, and I look good today, you know, too. Sung like a motherfucker. But the case is, didn't know you had a problem with me like that. Oh, yeah, she was, like, you know, I mean, and then, her, you know, that kind of made, you know, didn't hurt my feelings because, she couldn't even hurt my feelings. It was like saying, well, look, you know, sorry. You know, I thought you was, you know, working for mental health. You get paid a check. So I guess, you know, I guess you what? bigger, better. Oh, and she's like, oh, this is just some way to advertise. Listen here, lady. I am independently owned. I pay everything. I don't take no donations. I don't get no donations. And I don't advertise. And the people that I advertise, just like I sent that shout out there, Shay's Africa. Renee, I don't charge her nothing. I charge nobody anything. So that advertising thing kind of really, now that pissed me off because it's like, you know what, they ain't no, I advertise for free. All you got to do is ask me. Even if her little ignorant ass would have asked me, could you share my writings? I would have shared her shit. But the bottom line is now you done fucked that shit. I'm fucked up. Lord forgive me. We got to shake it off.
One other thing.
Yeah.
Want to represent the Tuesday dual recovery meeting at the Healing Circle between 1 and 4 at 440. East Linden. Between, yes. Linden and 9th. Natives and non-natives are all welcome. Got it?
Oh, I'm sorry. I lost you for a minute, huh? Okay.
Yes.
Just like I was saying, most of you guys in other cities, in other countries, in other regions, all you have to do is look into your Department of Mental Health and look for counseling. It will be counseling, DRA, which that is a new, you know, you have AA, you have NA, you have CA, all of, you know, but DRA was something that just, how many, about maybe 10, 11 years ago, they got the ball rolling. And that's to say that, okay, I can have a mental illness and take prescription drugs. I mean, take, you know, psychiatric drugs. And then also, too, I got a co-occurring disorder as well, right? So representing
correct.
Those two, that's at 440 East Linden as well. I do see there's somebody out there that wants to say East 9th. That's what he's saying, 440 East 9th. Okay, sorry. It's on the corner of 9th and Linden. But most
yep.
of you guys that know it's the London bridges that's falling down. Because the village owns it. Hold on, let's hold that thought. Let's say hello. Falling down. Hello, hi. This is Janice Group Theory. How may I help you?
Hey, how y'all doing tonight?
Blessed and impressed. What's going on? I just got a little irritated. But people. Bishop, thank you. You're just like a calming. I guess you came because you heard your sister. I was about to have a good one. Yes, this blew me up. How are you doing, Bishop Brett? Everybody, welcome, Bishop Brett. And of course, you know Todd.
Good morning, Bishop. Hey, how you doing? You know, Jenny, you gotta stop letting things get to you. That's what they want. They want to make you miserable. You know, and we as people, we gotta learn. To deflect that, send it right back to
him. Well, that's what I said. I wasn't mad. It's just like, no, I'm just saying, like, I was polite, very polite. But the bottom line is like, you know what, don't play game. I mean, listen here. Look, you asked me, you know, wait a minute. Are you adult or do you own crack? What's wrong with you? You asked me about how to do, you know, you came at me. And then when I tag you, what? I mean, you know, oh, my goodness, you're a writer, and, man, you know what, I'm good, that's all right, because, like I said, block, I ain't going to have to worry about it. You know, I'm not mad, Bishop, I'm just saying, you know, we have to be real, you know what I'm saying, you know what, real talk, real people, real issues, you know, here, you know, keep it 100, you know, you just like you bring it, Bishop, just like that show right now, your show, Bishop, the show you, Lorraine, and Leon, the L and the L, we're on, is doing 35. Past 3,500. I mean, come on. People want to hear what you got to say. People want to hear what you guys have to say. You guys bring it. So, you know, I mean, I don't need it. I really don't need any extras. You know, I don't need anybody who doesn't really want to be here.
Well, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, that's why That's why I became, you know, a pastor, because I got so tired of these fake phony pastors bringing something that don't help nobody, and everybody end up in the same rut they've been in. You know, that's why I became a pastor, to tell it like it is.
And you do. Let's say you do. You're the honest. You're pretty honest. And people love it. I mean, you know.
Well, you know what? You know what, Gina? You know what? Let me tell you something. We want something different. We're in the year 2012. We want to see God. We want to know God. We want something now. We want to know who we really are. We don't know if the reptilians are coming. We don't know what's going to really happen. But right now we need truth.
Oh yeah, truth will set you free. Truth will set you free. You been on my Facebook? You know, I did a writing that's called "The Truth Will Set You Free." The truth hurts, but it will set you free. And that's real.
But that's real. You know, I guess, you know, yeah, it's so bad that, you know, even close people to us and our family, you can't even trust them. You raise them, you know, you grow them up, and they'd rather go with a friend than to deal with somebody that fed them and kept them. You know what I mean? Kept them out of harm's way and put a roof over their head. They're gonna tell you about their friends, and then when everything go haywire, then they want to come back home. You know, no. See, I got a whole nother attitude. I got a whole nother thing now. I can't deal with people that's phony and fake, just like you. I can't deal with it no more. I mean, you know, everybody in the church, they want an offering for this, an offering for that. Well, what you got to offer me, huh? What you got to give me, huh? You know, hey, I got a bill that need to be paid, Pastor. Well, can you help me?
Go ahead. Go ahead. You know, I don't go to church often.
Well, I do. I go to many churches, and I see many different forms of pastors and preachers and apostles and bishops and this and that and all that. You know, they're people. That's what they are. And they make mistakes, you know. And some are good. Don't get me wrong. Some are good and some are legit. But you got a lot of them out there. They are for themselves. And that is why I became a pastor. I'm tired of these fake, phony pastors and preachers and all these high title names. And they ain't nothing but crooks. I'm done.
I'm just tired of fake people, period. I mean...
This is not fake.
I'm talking about people who misrepresent themselves. The one thing that I can say, go ahead, Bishop.
Everything we deal with. Look at that house thing where they sold those people those houses for zero down, and they messed up all these hundreds of thousands of people. Everything is not what it seems. Everything. You go to buy a car. Look at Cal Worthington. I'm gonna give you some examples. Go to Cal Worthington. He tells you, $99 down. But when you get there, it's $900 down, and then another $500 for a deposit, and then another. But you see, they mislead you, and that's the way our world is. Our world misleads us. Go ahead.
Yeah, but there is a fictitious business. Statement that but you know what? Recently, somebody that I know went to check out Better Business Bureau and on a company, and I don't know. I think that they're not running things pretty good either, because it fell through the hole. So I mean, just because they have BBB on the BBB, you know, I'm always representing for that Consumer Reports. Just because they say BBB, even they got to look at it.
Well, everything does, Gina. I mean, look. If you look at all the commercials on TV, there's always got that little guy at the end or little lady at the end that speaks real fast. You know, you know what I mean? Where you don't understand what the heck they're saying. You know, they might tell you, oh, come down here for a dental plan, bring $33, and then the disclaimer comes. And you don't know what they're saying. So when you get there, then the first thing they say, didn't you hear the disclaimer?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God. Speaking of that, I'm having a problem.
Go ahead.
Another insurance. You know what? I don't know what to say. need I even have to blow y'all up with the whole thing about what the new developments are in the Gina got stabbed situation? Need I say what happened? What is the latest on that? You guys want to know the latest?
Go ahead.
Now listen to this. Brian got in the mail yesterday a letter, right, from Long Beach. And that letter says that he is to stand trial for that felony charge on the 25th of October. Now, he just got it yesterday. Wait a minute, they dismissed it. They let her out. She didn't have any documentation other than her side out for a metro ticket. And he, who is a 24-year veteran, he disarmed her. It was his house that was bloodied. The bottom line is this. Now he has to stand on felony charges. The DA picked it up. Well, you know what? I am so livid. I was at the court building. I was there Thursday and Friday with each and every day. And get this. He went into the police department today to get the police report. And guess what? Guess what?
They don't have one.
He has to have his attorney get it. It has to be subpoenaed. I never heard. I'm done. And his attorney wants 24. It's going to be $2,490. He can't. He walked in there to get the police. His attorney has. Wow. Now you guys tell me what that's about. Now I want to know. Now I want to know because I must represent this because I'm going all out. Everybody, you know what? Now this is one thing I can say, Bishop. I'm pushing you, but I can't hear that wind whistling. This is what I'm going to do. I want everybody collectively, everybody. I out of everybody. I know Brian, he was off of work those days. But me, I am less a hand. And you know what? I'm doing pretty good with it, but the deal is. Now, I want to see if they're going to refile charges on her. Now, wait a minute. How is he gonna go to trial on a case that really is like it didn't happen? And when I spoke with the doctor Monday, she told me that the young lady said that I was her cousin. Now, I never said that. So the police must have got that from the young lady. So you mean to tell me the assailant claims to be the victim's cousin, and they accepted? And so they let it go because what? Oh, that's your excuse to say, oh, she can be free because it's a domestic violence. Well, you know what? In domestic violence, if someone is stabbed seriously, critically, like I was, you go to jail. That's it. You don't get out of free card.
If it's a domestic question.
Yeah.
If it's considered domestic violence, is woman on woman or man on woman? You know, how's that classified?
It doesn't matter if it's a woman on woman, because you know everybody is free. It's free roam now. So women on women, man on man.
Wow.
Bishop, no disrespect to you, but you know it's just free roam right now. Everybody partners and comprade. You know, we got another caller out there. And I think I know who it is. Let's go say hi. You guys, hold on 1 second. It is now actually 12:54 in the a.m. This is October 16th, 2012. I think I did get a little bit heated and. Couple of folks, but I don't. You know what? I don't even know who you were. I really don't even care. Because the bottom line is this: hey, if you can't take the real truth in your ear and it hurts your ear so bad, hey, you gotta do what you gotta do. Hi, this is Gina. Who's out there?
Hi, Gina. I'm calling from New York. This is Jay. How are you?
I'm blessed. Hi, Jay. Hi, that's my buddy right there. Hi.
Hey, I hear that's a crazy story going on between. I mean. First, you have a brother that's a veteran, right, that served the country and tried to do his thing. Then you have the same brother trying to help out two sisters. Now the system wants him to pay the price, but the actual person that committed the offense is let go. And then to get a record of the incident, they want him to pay a lawyer. So what happened to the freedom of the people to say, why do I need a lawyer for my own record? The whole system is... I mean, just from the bottom to top, it's just totally corrupt.
And you know what? They got my wallet. And I send a shout out to the LBPD You ain't get me. I ain't coming up in there. You think I'm stupid? What you want to? You want to get me with a? You want to charge me for getting stabbed? You got
I know
me.
They can charge you.
I'm not gonna do it.
Yeah.
Yo, they got my wallet. You know they had my wallet all along. You know they. I'm done. And they call me, tell me, come get my wallet. I ain't going up in there. I ain't even got my wallet yet. The bottom line is, hey, you got it, keep it. And if any identity thought fraud happened, I know who did it. Bottom line, the cops got it.
Well, consider sending them a certified letter and telling them to mail your wallet to you. You know what I mean?
They ain't going to do it. No, I'm telling you.
Well, at least if you document that you made the request, what happens is if our people have a lot of paperwork documenting like how white people do it, then at least we could later say, here's a document, a certified letter. I asked the police to send my document to me, certified mail, and I included a money order for $4 to cover it. They never sent the document. Because if we don't, what happens is they like us to get emotional about an issue, knowing that if we don't play the legal game and follow certain procedures, that in courts and in proceedings, they win. Even if they're wrong, they win. There's a lot about having, you know, a paper trail of evidence.
And the voice of reason always. Thank you. I know you're right, but it's just like, what? Like, I can't believe it. I don't know what to say. Bishop, say hi to Jay.
Yeah,
oh, he still owes you a birthday song. I haven't forgot.
I gave up on that song a long time ago. Jay forgot about me.
No,
yeah,
he's too busy to work with the community.
I've been in vocal classes with Randy. He's been working on my vocals.
Randy Jackson? Right. Have you for real?
Yeah,
have
Randy
you?
And J-Lo. Then,
oh,
you know,
okay.
Now, when you think of Bishop, you got to hit that A note like this. I'm almost there.
Oh, you guys. Okay, so the crew is coming out and about. I'm like, what? Are you serious? I'm like, well, what is that? I mean, 20, and he has a government job, y'all. He works for the government. So, I mean, a felon, it's all I could do. I don't even know what, and I don't know, I'm not going to get no wallet. Hey, it's a setup.
Well, you Gina.
What?
You got to find out what she testified and what she said, because she might have turned that thing around.
No,
you ain't hearing me when they got her down there for questioning. You
yes,
got to find out what she said, because she could have made him the assailant and her being your cousin protecting you.
Being a victim.
Oh my God! No, I spoke with the you know, and that's shabby too, because the detective that came here was Friday. I got stabbed Wednesday night. He came here Friday. The detective she saw, which was a total different, was a Ramirez. I saw William Mercerato or whatever, and she saw Ramirez. Ramirez saw her on Thursday and already told her that I had filed. This is from her mouth, and she showed me her paperwork. They didn't give her any paperwork. They don't give you paperwork when they just cite you out for a metro ticket, and that's just a blow-up. And his name was Ramirez, and he came, and she asked me, she said, I thought you dropped the charges. But Ramirez, Detective Ramirez, who me and Brian never met, Brian saw William. Now, the one who came in there, he was Asian. All he gave him was Bill. I had to get that win. That was me, brother. His name was Bill. I asked Brian, I said, what was the detective's name that came and saw you in jail? He said, call me Bill. Now, the detective came here was William Mercerato. Her detective was Ramirez. He told her Thursday, the day after that, basically, I had already pressed charges. I hadn't seen anybody until the next day. There's a lot of it's wrong. I mean, I didn't see the detective at my house until Friday. So why would he go in there and tell her that I had already pressed charges when I hadn't even talked to nobody? And who the hell was he? Yeah.
Two things. One is, if you give your entire case over the radio, they are listening to
know,
this.
Jack,
they're
know,
going
I
to
know.
They're
I
going
know.
To actually just cover their bases. But the second thing is that your brother is right. She could leave with a citation, but they could have taken a statement from her. You don't know that statement, nor does the man they're charging know have his paperwork. So without those things, what happens is we're going to have a hearsay thing where she said one thing and you heard another. But the way white people and rich black people do it is they go by evidence. And what they do then is even with that evidence, if they're wrong, they have enough clout to get away with it. So folks that don't have that type of financial resources at their disposal still have to play the system according to the same rules, meaning paperwork and evidence. And I think it would be good if you could get, A, a certified letter to get your wallet, B, a request for any documentation they have, and just be very careful giving a lot of info on the radio because they'll just take it and use it.
Wow. But if I do all that, I mean, it's like I've gotten to the point where I just don't even want it back. Really. You know, really it's a blow up because it's like I'm not feeling it. You know, I mean, you know, you're right, but the bottom line is, you know what, how can you win at something like that? You know what I mean?
Gina.
Well, you can win.
Gina. You have to press charges on her. And you have to press charges on her because she's the one who brought the knife out at first. She's the beginning of the crime. So therefore, because if she wouldn't have brought the knife out, nobody had been fighting and there'd been nothing. So therefore, you need to press charges on her for assaulting you, and then he needs to turn around and press charges on her for her starting violence in his house.
Isn't that something? Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Because if she's the only one pressing charges, guess what? You guys are the enemies.
Oh, my goodness. I pressed charges. I did.
No. You need to go down and press charges. Not only that, if I was you, I would also press civil charges. I would pin her to the wall. You see, because you'd be like OJ. If you can't win one way, win another. Come on.
Well, no, he lost. He won one way and he lost one way.
Come on.
No pun intended. Right.
He's very correct. Here's what happens, Gina and folks. The system gets us very emotionally upset. And if we aren't careful, what then happens is we're not able to think rationally, meaning they'll hit us upside our head, spit on us. And then if we get a bit annoyed and curse at them, for example, they say, we're going to write you a ticket. I had an argument today with this white lady about this. She was offended because I was saying things in a very blunt way. And she said, oh, don't say it like that. That comes off offensive. So the trick to the system is while they hit us upside our head, we still have to keep our composure and realize that if you don't cross your eyes and dot your T's or dot your T's and cross your eyes, however you think of it, what happens is they use it against us. So we need to get our documents. We need to have our evidence. We need to file our paperwork so that even though we're getting hit upside the head, at the end of the day, they get hit upside the head because you do like Johnny Cochran. You know, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit. We cannot win if we just let them drive us emotionally, you know, into reactionary positions.
Well, you know,
and
not,
your brother is right. You got to listen to your big brother.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm not as emotional as I was. I'm not as emotional as I was about it because, you know, I had to take some time to understand that I am disabled. And, you know, even having to have to admit that I am physically disabled, you know, I mean, after all I've been through, it's really hard. You know, I mean, it was really hard, but then I pushed through and I, you know, prayed. You know, I mean, got down on my knees and prayed about it. And, you know, so I released it. I released it. I'm just like, wow. I mean, it's like, I mean, and you know, what's the funniest thing about it is, you know, when Bill came and saw him, he asked him if he wanted to press charges, and Brian said he told him no because he said he didn't think she tried to stab me. He was like, she tried. So it's like, wow. It's like, I don't know how he's feeling right about now, but I know he's probably feeling like, I mean, I know I would be feeling like, well, damn. I mean, I didn't think she went to hurt nobody, but I'm being, man, you know, I mean, that's that man's livelihood. That's his life. You know, it's just, I don't know. It seems like more so that the good citizen that abides by the laws is the one that they want in jail. I guess because all the other ones already got their ticket to get in there, and that's pretty much where they want us all to be. So, I mean, you know, like I told my daughter, you know, like, you know, well, you know, if you run across it, don't you say anything. Don't you say a word. Don't say a word. Simply be.
Well, you know, another thing, you know what, the charge is wrong. It shouldn't be a felony like that. It should be more like mayhem because it disabled you.
Mm-hmm.
Now you didn't think about that. Now that charge should be mayhem because it took away a limb.
Well, you know,
Gina,
what?
Have you spoken to a lawyer?
No, when I talked to Brian today, I was at the courthouse because I started with the protective. Then when I started writing it, then I said, no, this is not enough. Because it's like, okay, I don't have my hand. So it's like I got to touch everybody. Because, see, really, pretty much, they dropped the ball on me. They dropped the ball on me. By saying they dropped the ball on me was because, for one, you know, she was a member of HAP. She had assaulted a man a week before, and they had knowledge. And the police, from my understanding, had knowledge. From my understanding, the village rented her a room at the city center. In that room, she bludgeoned a man. She bludgeoned him, bloodied up the room, and left the man in there. Now, when they got there, now the village is the one that gave the voucher for her to have the room, but the room was in her name. So, my understanding, they had a warrant for her arrest. They were supposed to have a warrant for her arrest. So, all right, now, the village should have, I mean, and the police, when they found that man in that room, like, who dropped the ball then? She done been back and forth into the village. She has gotten her house, her apartment, and everything. They helped to get everything. So, the bottom line is, she done seen everybody. She done went to jail for stabbing me, and the man is, what happened to the man at the city center? That was a week and a half before me. Now, wait a minute. What is it? Okay, so do we keep the violent criminals out on the street, or do we lock their asses up so we can live out here? What do we do? Do we stay out? What do we do? I mean,
Gina,
you know what?
If you give the info about the village, et cetera, over the radio, Big Brother, you got to talk to your sister because she doesn't
You know,
listen, Gina.
I might not listen.
But you're letting it get you emotional.
No, you know what?
What's going to happen is you're going to give away all your evidence, evidence.
I do understand you, but let me tell you how I win. You know how I'm going to tell you I win all the time. I'm not a loser. I'm a winner all the time. I'm going to win simply because who's on the right side of the man is me. You might know. You
a
know,
lot of our folks on the right side of the ruin. They get killed right now in Papua New Guinea. They're killing us off every day. It don't just have to do with being on the right side. It has to be with being on the smart side. Sometimes the people on the smart side are the wrong people. We got to do this wiser. And you're giving away too much. I'm not going to be on the radio and have you give away your whole case.
I understand, but you know, but I'm just like saying, like, I mean, come on, I mean, you know, that's why I say community needs to take care of itself. The people in the community that live in this community, who reside in our communities, need to take care of their own. Need to take care of our own communities. And you know what? As opposed to having, and you know, just like the DVD says, you know, that you got a little bit of. The bottom line is that who are the police now? There are the ancestors, the descendants of the people who used to be able to whoop you and beat you and hang you from the tree. Now, the bottom line is this. Now, wait a minute. I'm just doing it in a more meticulous and more, you know, nicer way. I mean, well, don't shoot me, you know, to execute me. Just kill me slowly. Pretty much.
What steps do you plan to take to win your case? Giving all the details.
I'm just gonna do what I'm gonna touch everybody that somebody has to answer. I basically want to know why is it that a man who actually served this country 24 years and has a government job and has been a law abiding citizen and disarmed it. I want to know if in fact did the DA pick up her charges. Oh, by the way, there are charges because they cited her out on the Metro ticket. She showed me her information. So that's just, I mean, I know what I saw. The bottom line, she brought him here.
But just because she showed you some information and told you some things, it doesn't mean that that isn't the entire package. She may have gone in, like your brother said, and told them a totally different story. So
maybe approach it
the other way. And Big Brother is right. Wow. I'm 150,000% behind your Big Brother on this.
Okay, flow. You both are right. You both are right. You both are right. But like I said, man, from day one, like I told her, she said, I didn't tell him the next day. I didn't see him until Friday. But, yeah, I said I press charges. And I said, why did you? She threw my keys. I said, well, why'd you do that? She said, if I'd have got caught with your keys, I'd have got Grand Theft Auto. And I said, yep. And I would have been like, press that shit on her ass, too. And so add that on top of assault with a deadly weapon. Add that old GTA because now my car is still at South Bay and I got a lot of battles. You know, God gives me a lot of battles. I don't know. I got a battle all the time and I guess that's what keeps me sharp, you know, with it. But it's just beyond me. It just behooves me. And I'm not as upset as it's like, I mean, I live in this city. You know what I'm saying? I can only imagine what you go through out there in New York, Jay. That's all I can say. I don't know. You guys, I don't know how you do it. Because y'all out there just getting murdered in the streets, right? Well, we are too, but the case is we got to do something about all this, you know what I'm saying, genocide
New York,
right here.
New York has similar levels of black-on-black crime as well as racism. But what happens, at least in my case, is what I try to do is let the emotional component go in other ways and then find ways to address the issues the way the system sets it up. So it's like a chess game. And I know that they take most of my good pieces off the board. But with my rook and king and one or two pawns that are left, I say, okay, how can I win this game? Otherwise, I'll just throw the chess pieces and hit them upside the head, which is what they want. Then they'll arrest me and say, oh, okay, this nigga crazy. But instead, you got to stay rational and say, okay, now what am I going to do here? And meanwhile, under the table, they're kicking you and, you know, pinching you and throwing pee on you, and it's like, okay, you can't say nothing. Let me just stay calm. So it's really a thing of rationality, and also realize that you're a radio host and also a human being. So what happens sometimes as a host is the human side of you, that's the caller side, can come out. But if I were calling up about a crime and saying all the info in the air, you as the host, it would behoove you to say, well, listen, bro, you calling about some bank you were, you know, but you putting all that on, well, you doing that. Sometimes you shift between host and Gina, the friend, mother, et cetera, and differentiate those. Some things you want to not put out. When I do my radio show,
right,
some of the stuff I'm going on, I don't put out there. I do that stuff
right
behind the scenes. Sometimes I'm having a tough day, and sometimes I mention it, but certain things I don't, especially if they're legal ramifications. Like if I had a little incident and I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to have to roll up on something, I'm not going to put it on the radio. Not that I'm saying I'll do that, just to clarify.
Yeah, right, Malcolm X. Yeah, right, Malcolm X. We already know how you get down. You're the revolutionary.
No, I'm a peace activist. Peace, love, and happiness.
Oh, yeah. Whatever, Zach.
Yes.
Whatever.
The Big Brother. But not me.
That's true. Right now I'm representing... Right now, I'm just representing as the handicapped girl. And you know what? I'm a little pissed about it. I guess you could say. You know, I'm representing for the disabled, for real now. You know, I mean, it's one thing to have escaped mental. I don't know if I'm escaped this one, but the case is I'm fighting hard on it. But, it's, you know, I mean, what? Somebody said to me, you're still pretty? And like, oh, okay. Yeah, all right. You know, okay, I'm like hitchhiking backwards. So what's going on? That is not cute, you guys. If it were you, you'd be Jay, you'd be out here with you. I want them all to fry. Everybody's ass in jail, okay? I mean, hell, you round them up. I know Bishop. I mean, you know, Bishop, I have to kind of, because he got that wing on it. Even Bishop, when I sent him the picture, he was like, oh, I didn't know it was that bad. You know, like, wow. You know, I mean, Jay, I don't think you've seen it yet, right? Oh, my goodness. Like, it's not nothing pretty. Like I said, if I was hitchhiking backwards, I'd be right on time.
Yeah.
How you going my way? My son going the opposite way. What the hell? You know, I mean, this and I can't even feel the tension. It's separated. I can just feel it. And so it's like, wow, it's a blow up. You know, but I feel
even,
like this.
Even from, even from a little bit standpoint, if you think about it, because I've spoken to her a few times in the past, remember when you introduced me, deep down, I just get the impression that she's not a bad person. I get the impression that there are other issues going on, right? So what we have here is several layers of Black and Native people having challenges, and the system sits back and has the cops and the courts ready to just lock up people. So it's very complex when you think about the dynamics that we have to interact with. We have to protect ourselves and our family. But on the flip side, we got other Black and Native folks who have their own issues, and it becomes a war between groups that should actually be comrades. However, in a case like this, if you're not careful, they're going to pull you and your brother man, the dude that was at the house, Brian, into something that really has to be addressed with paperwork and legal filings, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I feel you on it, but you know what? I am highly favored, and I ain't even worried about it. You know what? I can just say like this. You know, you don't really go for this one, but I can just put it in God's hands and let you know. I put her situation in God's hands, and you know what? Yes, I did do all that, and yes, I will follow up, and I will do what I need to do. But the case is, yeah, I do see the upcoming storm, and the case is, you know, I kind of just wanted to kind of walk away from, you know, do what I got to do and walk away and be done, you know, and just, you know, be gone. You know, the deal is that's what I was trying. That's what I wanted to do. But it seems as though with every day is something, and, you know, I mean, and it's just like, wow, it's like, now what? But I'm going to have to do the right thing too and represent for him. You know, the bottom line is I'm still involved. You know, my car is not even, I haven't even got my car shop. You know, I mean, I'm still, this is week 5, and I'm still going through it. And then now it's like, oh, now it's going to be another, you know, torrent of something going on. And I'm going to have to rep, I mean, come on now. I mean, in what city is it that, you know, the assailant or the predator, what do you call him? What is it, the defendant or what is it that they get to tell with the story? I mean, wait a minute, you're the one with the gun. Wait a minute, okay, he kills everybody. This dude kills everybody. And he's like, okay, well, we want to know your side. We want to know you give us. Come on, I mean, he's the one that did the killing. What he's going to tell you? Oh, I killed this person because of that. Oh, well, I killed her because she was my mama. Yeah, I mean, come on. I had to show. To protect and serve who? Who are the protected and serving? You know, I mean, who are we? Who are the protected and who are not? And I don't see the citizens as being the protected. And if they got vigilantes up in Florida that's just killing kids and wearing hoodies, you know what I'm saying? Oh, is it to get down like that? I mean, can you just pull your strap out and just blow somebody away and just say, oh, my goodness, I thought they were going to do. You know, come on. I mean, it's just, I think all around the whole world, it's just nothing but a lot of mayhem, a lot of genocide going on, you know. And, you know, I represent for Africa, represent for South America as well. You know, I mean, something has to be done. And I mean, the scale is high. But, you know, right now it's open season. You know, just like it on Bugs Bunny when Donald Duck, Bugs Bunny and Daffy, when he said, it's rabbit hunting season. I think it's hunting season, isn't it? And who do you think, was it Elmer? Yeah, who you think they hunting? Rabbit? No, I don't think so. It's not rabbit they hunting. They hunting, you know, innocent people. They hunting the innocent. I think they trying to take over the innocent. They want everybody that's of good and that want to do some good. They want them in jail. You know, you go and you do something good and you do something righteous. They want you in jail, and you might be right, Jay. They might want me in jail too. They might want my community activism ass to be there too. But you know what? You better play hard to get me, because I'm not really breaking no laws. I'm not doing no crimes or nothing like that. You know, so I mean, I'm righteous. You know, about my, you won't catch me out there cutting up. So the deal is, you know, I'm a hold mine down. You know, I'm not really worried about, you know, all the extra. I'm just saying about the rest of society. It's just like I told the detective when he came here. The society is what you need to be worrying about. Because, I mean, we got our children growing up. I mean, I want to see my grandchildren grow up. You know what I'm saying? I want my kids to be all right. I want my brother's kids to be all right. I mean, I want your kids to grow up. Those pretty kids over there. I want Todd's grandson to grow up in a healthy world. You know, a world where you don't have to worry about who's going to shoot you in the back, or, you know, I mean, what beat down you're going to get, or, you know, if your name's going to be Rodney King, or you're going to be the new Rodney King in 2013, what, I mean, what's really going on? Everybody. I mean, everybody says vote for me, but I mean, what do you do? Brett, he said it just right. The bottom line is, who is going to vote? Sorry about that, y'all. Who is going to vote for? Who's voting for who? Who's going to vote for me? Who's going to vote for you? That's where we're at.
I think Brett was saying something.
Huh?
I think your brother was saying something.
Bishop, are you there?
Yeah, you got me on mute?
No, you're off.
I heard someone saying something.
Because I've been trying to get in for about the last 25 minutes. But anyway, you know, I just thought of something. You know what? Since she has a mental history, maybe that's why they won't go after her, because it won't stick anyway.
Well, you know what?
They're using him for a fall guy, because they can't get her. They can't get her anyway, because she already has a history of mental illness.
Well, if that's the case, there's everybody else's fall guy in too, I guess.
They don't want to. You know, everything's so cheap now. They don't want to lock her up in the hospital, so they'd rather go after him so he can pay some money into the system.
Well, that sounds more like it. I have to agree with that. What you think, Jay, about that? I agree with that one. It's about the cheddar. It's about the cheddar cheese. You know, yes, the Village do represent for us mental ill survivors and mentally ill. But the deal is, you know, right is right, wrong is wrong. I mean, come on. I mean, would they have left Jeffrey Dahmer back out on a technicality?
Well, that's where that mental illness come in at, Gina, because, you know, if that would have been anybody else, everybody would have went to jail, except you. So, you know, I'm just saying, if that would have happened in my part of town, all y'all would have been in jail.
Even the victim, huh? That's
everybody would have been in jail. No, that's just the way it is. The way it is, any violence, any whatever, everybody goes to jail. Everybody.
Oh, isn't that a cut up? Who got the pretty little baby? Oh, Jay, that you?
Yeah, that's my baby.
Uh-oh.
I'm about to change his diaper.
Look at that, Jay.
He's got a surprise gift for me.
Bishop, then it just looks like you. Isn't that sweet? Huh? Look at that daddy up changing his baby.
Well, God bless him, because I ain't having no more.
Let it not be said on Genius Group Theory. What?
You go, Jay.
Yeah, I'm sending one of mine to Bishop. He's having no more.
No, I ain't having no more, Jay. I'm done.
Oh, yeah.
I've hung up the magic wand. Yeah, I'm done.
Magic stick?
Yeah, the magic stick is retired.
Okay. Well, let it not be said that Genius Groove Theory is not a family-oriented radio station. It is now 1:24 in the a.m. It is October 16th, and we're pampering babies out here. So go ahead and send a shout on out to all of us, right? Just make sure you know.
Hold on, boy. He's trying to get away.
See that? There it is. See, men are at home taking care of the kids. So what really happened? Is that what happened? So now we don't have the baby mamas at home. We got the baby daddies at home. That's what I'm talking about. Put them to work. Now all we got to do is incorporate how to get you pregnant and barefoot. That's a blow up.
Well, I'll be right back. I'm changing it, guys.
Did you hear that, Bishop? I'm calling for men to be barefoot and pregnant.
No, don't go.
I think you're going to be calling in a long time.
Oh, hey, wait a minute. If they got Dolly the Lamb going on, you know, anything's possible. Anything's possible. When man goes to be doing God's job, he thinks.
Well, you know what? You know, I think, Jenny, you know what? Like I said, I think you need to stick it to her like she's sticking it to y'all. And I think you guys both, if you guys put your hands together, because, see, they need a witness. And you're the witness. So you're going to get subpoenaed, too.
And you know what? I thought about that, too. And then I thought about the other lady that was there. And she lied on me. So I don't even know what good she going to do, because I don't even know. I don't even know if they even – you know what the cool thing is? I don't even know if they interviewed her, because she was outside and some other – I don't even know if she talked to him at all. And if she didn't, that's another blow up because they made the whole house a crime scene, but why weren't all everybody? I don't know. See, that limits everything right there. That limits everything. And like I say, the old girl, because she came with some other, I don't even know, because can't believe that come out of her mouth because she's a liar. So the deal is, that doesn't work in our favor there. I know what I'm gonna say, but then if you got one that's lying, it's a liar too. So I mean, she didn't lie and said she didn't say some stuff and she didn't see this. And yes, you said it, but you know what I'm saying. So I don't even know. And well, you know, but let it not be said that, you know, let this be a frown on mental illness, because you know what, the mental illness is not an excuse to get out of a crime. Okay, it's not. And, you know, let's not even get on that level, because all mental ill people don't go around cutting and stabbing on people and you know, trying to, you know, stay on the streets, you know.
It was a blow up from the very beginning, you know. I mean, I told you, she didn't have no good intentions for you anyway. So, you know, hey, I mean, you got to put it where it belongs, you know.
Well, but you know what? Like you always say, and like Cherokee says, we don't go after the saved. We go after the wicked.
Well, we go after the wicked, but you know what? God also says, he says, be wise in all that you do. You have to be wise.
And he said, lay out the hammer, too, on them, too, right?
Well, you know what? You know what? No. He says, mark them. You know, you have to mark them so you understand what you're dealing with. Because you know what? We can't help everybody. We can help some people, and some people we have to help from afar. Some people we can't be around them and help them. We got to help them from a distance. So I guess that person right there should have been helped from a distance.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Well, I wish you had told me this like 6 weeks ago. Maybe when I had
did.
It.
I did.
No, you saw goodness in it. No, don't even say that. You saw. It's not really a situation about bad or good. It's just a situation of why'd you do it? You know what I'm saying? You know, like she said to me,
well, I'm just happy that you got a good attitude about it, because if she would have done it back in the day, boy.
Okay, well, we wouldn't be talking about it. I would be already on the run.
No,
I mean,
you'd probably be in jail. You'd be in jail. We all be in jail. Everybody be in jail. Yeah.
Well, you know how you are. Don't even want to get the family stirred up. But the case is, no, I'd probably be in Mexico somewhere drinking a cocktail.
Well, I mean, you know what? When you were explaining the wound, you know, I thought it was, like a little cut. That ain't no cut. She tried to cut your damn arm off, you know, and that thing right there is massive. So, you know, they should get her for mayhem. Because that right there, I mean, I'm surprised it didn't go through the other side.
Yeah, my hand was almost severed, though. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That thing is, man, that thing is horrible. And, you know, and Gina, well, I'm really proud of you, because, you know, I don't think I'd be able to take it light as you.
Well, how come, brother? How come, Bishop?
Because you know me.
But you're Bishop now. You're not Bubba from back in the day.
Like I told you, everybody's human, and everybody's God. You know, God says not one of us is perfect. So you know, there's no telling what I might do tomorrow. But I try my best to do what's right. You know what? I got to be real. You know, we all sin every day. Not saying it's right, but our goal is not to sin as much. Our goal is to shut it down. That's right. That's our goal. Because every day somebody tells a lie. Every day somebody, somebody does something to offend somebody, hurt somebody. And God says all sin is the same. All sin is the same.
You know, yeah. I think what did kind of get me through it, because I was on a hiatus like 7 days when I realized, you know, I didn't have the use of my hand, and I took it kind of hard. You know, but then, you know, we got on our knees, prayed about it, and I kind of let go the whole situation about the other person that was there too, because it's like, you know, it's a blow. That's why I said I don't really dig. I don't want to have anybody in my life that does not tell the truth, for one, that lies, because, you know, like Mom and Emmy say, if you lie, you cheat. If you cheat, you steal. And you can't be trusted with the cookie jar, because you're going to you're going to run off with the cookie jar. You know, just like you guys were talking about, you know, about reparation. We talk about stuff like that. It's like, because somebody is going to be greedy and going to run off with something. The bottom line is, you know, I just don't want to deal with, you know, that kind of, that, I mean, those kind of people. See, you see what I'm saying? In the case of, I know she lied to, she lied to me. Pretty much saying I was a liar. So she's incredible. So that's the fourth person. She's incredible. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And I don't know if she would come off and that, ruin it. And, you know, because I don't know, because she told me one thing, told him another thing, different sides. So I'm saying we can't call her to testify for nothing because, hey, she's a liar. Now, she's a bald-faced ass liar. I mean, because she said he was the victim, what she told me. And then when she told him, she said he was all his fault. So she's a liar. She's a twister-up manipulator herself. So
that might have been also why they're pointing the finger at him, because of her conflictive story. You know, she's not, you know, as a witness, her story is not matching up, you know. So they're drawing their own conclusion. And DA will pick it up, and they will try to prosecute somebody, you know. And old crazy girl ain't all that crazy. If she's not crazy enough to keep them car keys to keep from getting grand theft, she ain't all that crazy.
Nobody said a little bit was nuts. She did a little crazy.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, Gina, that's why I say, you know, sometimes we gotta veer away from people that are not in our league. You know, I mean, you know, when you're trying to strive and when you're trying to get ahead, you know, I know we want to help the world, but you know what? We want to help people that want to help themselves. We don't want people that want to stay where they're at. You understand what I'm saying? Because, you know, they got another mentality. She got that mentality down there by the gutter. You know, we got the mentality, we're trying to move up the main street. You can't mix them both. You can't mix them both.
Yeah,
I can't bring that guy off the street and take him in my house and expect him not to steal my laptops and everything else while I'm gone. I would like to trust him like that, but you know what? The odds are he ain't got no laptop down there by the gutter or under the freeway pass, and he's going to be using my laptop by the freeway. And our freeways have internet. So he can get Wi-Fi under the freeway with my laptop.
No, but you know what? On the real tip, no, he might not want to be looking at it like that. He might be want to sell it for $5, and somebody else would be looking at it.
Either way, it's still the same thing. You know, you got to seek, like Mom and them just say, you got to seek your own level of water. We can't change the world. I mean, I would love to just bring every homeless person and feed them and everything else. But just like in my church, I invite the homeless people in, and you know they don't smell so good. You know, I put them right with the regular other people, and other people, you know, they all running like they ain't never smelled nothing.
That reminds me of my first outreach. How people, Cherokee Liberty,
yeah,
my first
they're
outreach.
Running. I mean, you know what, like these people got a bathtub and they got a shower, you know. I'm hugging and doing what I'm supposed to do as a pastor, and I got a congregation that's fake and phony. That's why I closed the whole church down, because it was all hypocrites.
Okay, and you know what, like I say, needless to say, you'll never know what happened to you. See, that's what I learned from this, Bishop. I learned that how we were brought up, that, you know, I mean, you know, you remember I was all about the dollars and cents, the boy. It wasn't no God dollars in heaven, but it was like, if you can't wipe your ass with $100 bill, you ain't shit. You know, that's the way I was, right? So now it's like, wow, I have walked a long journey to get here. And so it's like, wow, you know, I'm a better person. I feel better. You know, I live better. You know, I mean, I'm not really worried about what comes and what goes. You know, and you're right. You know, I have, you know what, I've been staying clear. I'm serious. I've been staying clear because, you know what, I have to. You're right. All that old nutty old crazy stuff is like, you know what, I don't even need to be around that, because the bottom line is this. See, I got hurt in this situation when, you know, I shouldn't have. I was trying to, you know, like they say, you can take the horse, you can lead the horse away, but you can't make him drink, and you can't take the whore and the housewife and all that old extra stuff. Yeah, okay, that was on me. The bottom line is now when I look at things now too, it's like, okay, shall I be around the same people that I was around that time? No, it's like you know what? I need to stay away from that because the people who are deceptive, people who hey, you know what? I need to stay clear because you know what? It's only a matter of time. Like I was saying to Hawk today, you know, Hawk before we went to go pick pop up. I said, you know what? I never back in the days when I did used to cut up, I never wanted anybody to tell me what they did. You know, just like how, you know, she told Cortez, how she told Hawkins, how she told everybody how she blunged the man in the motel. And then they knew, you know, I never want to hear that. I never want to be around anybody like that. I mean, to me, it's like, if I find out that you like that, and I really know that you like that, and my heart tells me you like that, then, I can't trust you. And I don't want to have to, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't want to be around people I can't trust. And you know what? It causes me to ask, why would anybody want to be around that kind of person? You know, if a person is out to hurt you. Now, yeah, you know what? I still love her like I love anybody else. I love her like a child of God. The case is, now if I'm gonna go out and hang out with her, hell no, I'm not. Am I gonna be around? Hell no. If she come up to me, hell no. What I'm gonna do? I'm gonna open up a can of whoop ass on her or something like that. That's what I'm gonna do. Bottom line is, I don't want to be around it. I don't want to be around.
But the key word you said. See, you said a key word. The key word was blunged. It wasn't stab. It was blunt. That means stab many, 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 many times.
No, it was a 2x4.
Yeah.
It was a 2x4. Yeah.
Well, that means there's still a lot of blood, puddle of blood, messed up, jacked up. That's not blunging. That's another word. Blunging is when you stab a person many times.
Well, no, she opened his head up with the 2x4.
Oh, okay. Well, it still was open. Okay, so that means that it was blood all over the place. It looked like crime scene.
And he was in there with the blood crime. Yeah, exactly.
Well, that should have been the clue right there for all of y'all to get away from her.
But look, she didn't tell me. She told Cortez. She told.
It seemed to me like Cortez should have said, "Mom, you know what? Look here. She just bunged this one over here. I think we should 86 her out the house, because you know what makes you think you ain't the next number for her to blunge
you." Well, I look at it like this. Look, if I thought about everybody that I helped, if I really start putting everybody, and just by the way that they look, and just by the things that I know about them, then I wouldn't help nobody, especially out here in Long Beach. Long Beach is the most diverse, unique city. You know this, Bishop. You call it. You said hell. The one bill, not you said it was hell. But I'm starting to believe you. You're right. It's hell. But the case is, you know, they're unique people. And most of our homeless out here are good people. You know, I mean, they're good. They have pride. They have integrity. I mean, they don't go around, this is a rare, rare thing. It's rare.
Hey, Gina.
Yeah.
Hi. Yes, I'm back. My baby's now getting some breast milk from the mommy. I thought you were going to
breastfeed.
No, I was thinking of it, but it's just not happening tonight. You know, the milk isn't flowing. I tried.
Well,
your brother has a valid point, Gina, and he said that if you see a situation with a person who already exhibits signs of, you know, danger, serious danger, and you walk into it.
No, it wasn't even like that.
I'm telling you what he said. I'm not telling you what you did either. I'm just saying what he said so that you could see wisdom in what he said.
I had no reason to fear.
You and I had that same talk a few weeks ago, and I said, Gina, be careful who you surround yourself with.
But that was after seven.
Before that, I was telling you about some issues going on, and I said, Gina.
And I said,
some of the folks are good people who just need a hand up. Others are going to pull you down. We've been having these talks before. See, a part of it.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. But I'm listening now. Hey, you know what I do? Hey, I just do what I do. And all the troublesome folks, I'm just staying clear of.
Do you remember Mr. Happy in my church, the guy I used to tell you about?
Yes, Mr. Happy.
Mr. Happy, you know, he had Reds and he had, what's that other thing, where you shout out for no reason and all that old.
Correct.
He had all these things that, you know, where he would jump up and down and jump on the floor and flip around. You know, all that was cool. I let him come to service, you know. We dealt with it, you know, and the kids laughed and everybody. But you know what? There came a point when he started chasing the little girls and playing with their hair. And okay. Once I saw signs of that, I had to get rid of Mr. Happy because I didn't know how far he would go.
Well, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Every time he saw a little hair, a girl's ponytail in back, he'd jump across the church and run after him like it was candy. Okay? And so when I got my son-in-law to tell him to sit down, he socked him in the stomach.
Well, yeah.
So it escalated where I had to call the police and get rid of him.
Well, see, you let you... Yeah, okay, and Mr. Happy had been to your church 1,000 times, hadn't he, cutting up? Yeah.
I mean, that was the last straw. When he messed with the little girls, that's the last straw, you know.
See, that's what I'm saying. That's where we could talk about some discernment. It's same thing. Bottom line is, it's like, okay, I mean, a million times. It wasn't like, you know, a million times. You know, even right now, I fear no one but God up above. You know, I don't fear anybody. The deal is, you know, also too, I don't want to walk away. I'm not gonna walk away bitter. You know, I'm not gonna walk away bitter. Now I may walk away with a little bit more consciousness, maybe. You know, I might walk away with a bit strapped. Who knows? No, that was a joke. But I might walk away a little. You know, I might be G'd up now. But no. I might walk away, you know, but I'm not going to stop. You know what? Because I think that's what Satan's plan is, too. Satan's plan is to hinder you from doing things for people. See, if you put in your head that everybody is bad, now, I mean, just like on those city hall meetings when, you know, I go down and represent for Department of Mental Health, for us, for me. When I'm in there, I had to tell them, I used to be you. I used to be you. I should be on the side of the courtroom you guys are on. The case is, you know, you never know when life can change for you. You know, I mean, and some people can take it. I thank God that our mom, the ladies, it was our mom and my children with their correct courage. They kept me going because it was many times I just wanted to kill us. Because, you know, I mean, but then there's some who. They lose their job and they kill themselves right away before they even lose the house, anything. So the deal is, I want to be able to help people like that. You know, I want to intervene. I mean, you know, you got all these shows about intervention about drugs and addiction. You know, let's intervene in some of these suicides. You know, and much love out there to me, you know, my friends out there in Compton, Montana, and them. You know, they just had a suicide as well, and I was going to do a show on suicide as well. You know, because the kid was a nice kid, 29 years old, and got in a car accident and got, disabled. He got paid for it. He got some money for it. And he killed himself like four Saturdays ago. So it's stuff going on all over the place. You know, and I mean, you got to make aware, you know. And you know what? And when I spoke with Rini, you know, we were out last Friday. You know, and she told me about that, too. She said that. That they knew, you know, he left a letter. They knew he had attempted to kill himself 2 weeks prior, but he failed. So I was like, are you serious? This kid was, you know, he's 29 years old, and I'm like, are you serious? And so that was his second attempt, and he, you know, like I tell people, when people want to commit suicide, they don't talk about it, they just do it, and that kind of case like that, see. They saw it, you know. You can tell. Sometimes if you just take, even if I would have looked up at a little bit when they looked situation at the bar about the dog, if I'd have looked up, if you look up and you look in somebody's face, you know, and Cherokee says it all the time. How many times that he walked up to a homeless person who was sitting down with their head down, and when he walked up, they came off aggressive at him, and he spoke his word, what he was there to do, and the person just. You know, just like he told me about a story where he walked up on a homeless man, this some years ago, where the man was sitting there with a knife, but Papa didn't know he had a knife. When he walked up on him, he seen the knife. And then Cherokee said he said, I'm just here to see if you need a sack lunch. And you know, when he said what he said, you know, the man dropped the knife. I say that to say this, you know, I mean, that's the teachings that I've been taught. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, I don't think everybody out here is for the bad. You know, you got a handful. You got a handful. You know, but everybody's not out here for the bad. And some people, like, you know, like I've learned, some people don't know nothing but violence. And, you know, in that case of Tushy, she had a rough life. But, I mean, like I had said to her many occasions, the bottom line is this, you know what? Hey, what time, we got to have a show about that. Now, when do you stop blaming your mama or your daddy or whoever it was that, you know, did whatever they did to you, you know, for what's done to you? Especially if the person is already long gone and dead. Bottom line is, you know, when are we going to accept responsibility for what we're accountable for? See, just because I was molested as a kid, don't mean when I get to be 18, I'm going to be molesting other people's kids, and then I'm going to turn around and say, well, it was done to me. And then, you know, come on. I mean, when I'm 18, I was molested, and that's why I did this. So, you know what I mean? I was just like, you know, I feel a lot of this. You know, this is one thing that really irritated me, too. Because, you know, I got a lot of bad feedback on this stabbing. You know, I had someone tell me that, well, I don't feel sorry. Listen here, this is somebody that don't even know what the damage looks like. Don't even know. Don't even have a clue. And I'm like, listen, this is the person that I worked alongside with. This is why I say about working, I mean, being amongst people who are not of you. But I'm like, I worked alongside of you, and you're gonna say to me, like, oh, you don't understand, though. Like, oh, well, you should have knew better. Wait a minute, hold up. Well, you know what? If you knew something I didn't know, well, why in the hell you didn't tell me? What's up with the late freight? I mean, you know what? I think back in the day, the West, the coach used to, I think he used to get there on time, I think. I don't think that I don't think the Wells Fargo horse made it there late for the delivery. The bottom line is, a day late to day too late, day, come on, that could be somebody's life. You know, if there's something, and also, too, that's deceptive and keeping secrets kind of thing. Just like kind of sort of why I haven't been back to the riverbed, same thing. Because some things, when she got angry, she said some things about some people. I'm like, what? I'm like, wait, hold up. You know, this is some things I'm not going to stand behind. I don't stand behind anybody, any type of violence on anybody. I don't stand behind anybody who molests, rape, or hurt any, or harass anybody. I don't stand behind any of that. I don't stand behind any pedophiles. I don't stand behind anybody who don't stand behind not man's law, but God's law. I don't stand behind you. I don't. You know, I don't. But I will stand behind God's people and what he tells me to do, and that's what I do. You know what I mean? And I'm not even a religious person. You know I don't go to church. But look, I'm just kidding, bitch. Bitch, like, I'm going to get you. But no, you know, I mean, I don't declare to be any of that. I'm just saying, you know, we need to stand up for each other for what we are right for. You know what I mean? I think that's why a lot of people don't trust a lot of people, and I'm at the point, after all of this, I really see, because who can you trust? Who can you really trust? And then you look at this person is dealing with that person, it's like, what? Okay, this person is, look, yeah, I did a posting about it yesterday. You know, the bottom line, Bishop is right, and you are right, too. You know, your company, you are what you keep. You know, like Nanny used to say, what, you deal trash, you get in your eyes, deal with dogs and fleas, they get fleas, you get fleas, all the extra. Yeah, if you keep remaining in the company of people that you know is no good, well, you know what, it ain't nothing but no good coming from that. So I've walked. I've done, like I told Turkey, I've done all I can do. I've given all I can. I've given a hand. I'm good. I've given a hand. Now, I put a new meaning to, could you lend a hand? Because I lend one. And that's real. You know? Bishop is out of school, doctor.
Yeah, I'm right here.
Yeah. I was just hearing that wind whisk. You know, it's just like, yeah, I put a whole new spin on it. Can you lend a hand? You know, right there. It's a cold thing, but yeah.
Well, like I said, you know, you can be effective, but you have to be effective. But you have to be wise in what you do, because, you know, this time it was a hand. You know, next time it might be some even more worse. So, you know, you got to really be careful. You know, I'm just like you. You know, I helped a lot of people. One lady, I gave her one lady. She had been sleeping in the park in our neighborhood. Everybody knew her. Gave her some perfume. She was one of the ones who came to the church, and she was reeking. Went and got her some Victoria's Secret. About a whole bag full. Well, I was real cheerful that day. I bought her some Victoria's Secret. And we surprised her the very next week with it. Unfortunately, the very next day, she got ran over by a car. So, you know, she got crippled. But she kept the bag of Victoria's Secrets, you know. But you know what? She was very hateful after she got hit by that car, like it was somebody else. It was like it was our fault, you know. And, you know, we couldn't deal with her no more after that. So, you know, people will try to deflect their pain on you.
Oh, yeah.
One way or another, I blame you for their shortcomings. You know what I mean? And especially church people are real good with it. They're real good with it. You know, they're blaming the pastor for everything. You know, you didn't pray enough. That's why I didn't win the lotto. That kind of mentality. You know, I mean, I've heard it all. I have heard some, but man, you just wouldn't believe it.
My parents are very, you know, they go to, they're dedicated Christians. What I find is that people often don't differentiate religion from spirituality. And we often think that because someone is religious or because an institution is religious, that it's necessarily a place of spirituality, when often people are more into the materialism and the, you know, the bling as opposed to the spiritual side. So the spiritual side for me means that I have to take responsibility for what I'm doing and everything. Now, it doesn't mean there may not be a miracle at birth, but what I've learned from birth on is we seem to be on our own, whether it's a car that hits us or somebody that attacks us or a system that is oppressive. And so I know Gina mentioned that, you know, certain phrases that show that she has faith that something will protect us. My thinking is if we don't protect ourselves, that something will watch us get rolled over.
Okay. Jay is a cutter. Look, you guys.
Are you ready?
Look. Okay, you guys check in with the time. We're down to like 7 minutes. I don't know if we're going to get that last hour. We might not. So let's do the next 3 minutes with you guys, you know, putting it out there, giving it up, and then I'll go ahead and do the outro. If we, you guys stay remained in, make sure that your phones are charged up, your batteries are charged up, and we'll see if we're taking that fourth hour. If not, we pick this back up tomorrow night, because I still didn't get to share my how I got to spiritual prosperity. So take it, Bishop, and then you both got like 1 minute apiece. Roll with it.
Okay, Jay, I got a question for you. Because that was very important what you just said. What's more important, the spirit or the soul?
The spirit and the soul, from what I can see, are similar. They're all vibrations. So I wouldn't know if any are any better because they both seem to be the same thing.
Okay, yeah. You're going to leave it right there? You're going to leave it right there?
Bishop,
well,
asked me that question.
I was waiting for your retort. I thought you would respond to that.
I'm going to retort. Okay, look here. The spirit will flee, but the soul is permanent. When God comes, he comes for your soul, not your spirit. So your spirit is somewhat temporary. If you notice, your spirit, it fluctuates. Sometimes your spirit is right on it, and sometimes your spirit is foul. But the soul is pure, and it will always be with you.
Okay. Go ahead.
His minute is gone, or?
No. Go ahead.
You're going to feel like a vice presidential debate and cut me off. That's not right.
No. Go ahead. No. Because I have someone who's ahead of voice.
There is evidence of a creator. Some groups say God, some say Allah, some say NGR. And whether we agree with their terms or not, you know, that's a separate etymological discussion. But excluding the evidence of life and planets, et cetera, I just find that the notion of soul and spirit, even though they would have to be frequencies and vibrations, they're not things that I can depend on for survival or for my family. So what I find is being spiritual means believing that there's an existence, but taking responsibility for everything around us, the planet, our friends, et cetera, and not waiting for a miracle. But I think we are the miracle. The miracle was birthed in front of us. We got a world properly.
Yeah, I did like that. I like that right there. That right there, that was sweet right there. We are. Yeah, I mean, in the sense of, I see what you mean. We are. We are. I mean, we can do whatever we want to. Like one of the writings I had just yesterday. We can do whatever we put our minds to do. We can make a difference, and we can make some changes, and we can. But see, we have to be able to say we want to do this. It's something that, like I said with Jay, when me and Jay started, and we haven't been too much working on it, but we work on it as much as we can, when we can, because we both have lives, he has children. The deal is this, we can make a difference, but we have to want to work. I'm not going to chase anybody down to do anything like this, because, see, nobody had to chase me down. See, I got run down. You're where I am. So, you know, I'm not in the mood. I mean, I'm not in the way of running nobody down. You know, I'm not going to chase anybody. I mean, it's something, you know, like, you know, what I had to learn too, you know, when I first started outreach with Cherokee out there, you know, when I used to get teary eyed and I used to want to cry for everyone. But then after a while, he let me learn myself, and I got better, and I stopped, as opposed to looking at him want to cry. I started looking at him as, so I'm coming to bring you some hope. I mean, I'm not here to make you sad. I'm here to bring you, to let you know that, hey, there's somebody here that cares about you, and it's me, and it's all these people who are with me. It's everybody already knows Cherokee loves everybody. You know, they just, you know, they sing across the streets, and you know, they throw a parade for him. You know, you know, the case is, you know, I'm here to bring something to assist. I mean, I'm not here to be a judgment caller or any of that. I'm not here to represent.
Gina.
That. Yeah, I got Gina. You. I did get you. Yeah.
Gina, you got me.
Yeah, I got you.
Well, Jay, you know, that was pretty good. But, you know, well, you know, to each man, is they have their own opinion. And my opinion is, you know, there is no me and my in my life. For, you know, I do have a creator, and his name is Jesus. And Jesus has always been there for me. Because, Jay, I've met death many a times, and I'm not dead yet. So, therefore, I believe there is a greater being, and his name is Jesus, and I know it for a fact. And I also know by the way my lifestyle is, and I know by the way the miracles that happen in my life, mm-hmm. which I have no control over.
Can I get an amen?
I know that the Creator, you know, Jesus, I call him Jesus, you call him Yahweh, you call him what you want. But I know that he exists in my life. And I know that, you know what? Let me tell you something. I got 10 kids, and all of them have not been to jail. All of them have made it through. All of them never missed a meal, Jay, on one income. So you know what? Yeah. I know for a fact God is in my life. I can't tell you who's in yours, but I can tell you who's in mine. I live right there.
Yeah, well, Bishop, he does prevail. He does prevail. We're
Bishop,
down to like about 80 seconds.
I wasn't suggesting that God is not in your or a person's life in some way. What I was simply saying is that tonight, a lot of people will die in Papua New Guinea, for example. Half of them are Christian. They will not be saved when they're shot in the head. So
wow.
My conclusion has come that I'm not arguing against the existence of a creator. What
Make
I'm
it quick,
saying
Jay.
Is that good and bad people get stabbed, good and bad people get shot. And so if we don't take care of our own business, what happens is we become prey because we are assuming that we are so gifted with special power that God will protect us, and that truck will come and run us right over. I think that spirituality doesn't mean complacency or not being proactive. I think it means being more active, just like when the scripture says about Jesus going in the temple and throwing people out. Martin Luther King came to the conclusion that slap me and I'll let you slap me again. Malcolm X came to the conclusion that slap me one time and you won't slap me no more. Most of my family who are Christian have the perspective of
You're down to
complacency. And my thing has been, you know, let's roll. But we're all on the same page, so
we're,
it's just really some different philosophies on the Sorry, go on to you.
Hey, you guys, this may be the end of the show, so let me go ahead and do the time. Thank you guys for showing up. If just hang on, stay logged in. We're going to take that outro out. Let's do it. Oh.
papa. Gotta get a birthday. Something for me and my family. I gotta make decisions and be somebody. I'm growing.